what was happening. There's a lot of neat sidebar stuff that takes place that you don't see on television that I'll have fun with. So we're looking forward to that. Love the debate. Love the passion. And never give up the fight. And just remember, nothing's lost until you give up. And we ain't giving up on the Ed Schultz Show. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great one.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Noller, live at the White House. It will sound like an intervention with an addict as President Bush tells the nation it's addicted to oil. 3 hours from now, in his State of the Union address, Mr. Bush will call for the U.S. to reduce its dependence on foreign oil. He'll say that technology is the way to bust that addiction by promoting alternative sources of energy at home. The overall theme of his speech is the need for America to stay engaged as a world leader. But even before Mr. Bush utters a word, some top Democrats are unimpressed, as we hear live from correspondent Bob Fuss.
House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi says President Bush is an oil man and for 5 years has done nothing to reduce America's dependence on oil and doubts he will now.
I believe that the only way we're going to be energy independent is to have Democrats in power who are not, don't have this tremendous anvil of oil and gas around their necks.
Democrats who've proposed their own energy independence plan point to the recently passed Republican energy bill that gave big tax breaks to oil companies even as they were earning record profits. I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill. Now with more news, here's Lou Miliano.
Along with both houses of Congress, guests for this evening's State of the Union address will include U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito, sworn in this afternoon, right after the Senate approved his nomination.
He does not have an agenda, does not have a predetermined set of values that he is going to try to foist upon the country.
But Republican Senator Arlen Specter's opinion was not shared by Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid.
Justice O'Connor was the first of only two women ever to sit on the Supreme Court. It remains disturbing to me that she would be replaced by a man, leaving only one woman on the nine-member court.
Piles of flowers have been placed at the tomb of Martin Luther King Jr. in Atlanta, along with the tributes being paid today to his widow, Coretta Scott King. She died early today at the age of 78. Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue.
For decades, she proudly bore the torch of her husband's legacy. Now, she has passed that torch on to a new generation to keep the dream alive.
A longtime colleague of the civil rights struggle, Joseph Lowry, says she wore her grief with grace. She exerted her leadership with dignity. Without a clear signal from the Fed on the future of interest rates, stocks remained mixed this afternoon and then finished the day with a slight loss. The Dow closed down 3506, a third of a percent change. The Nasdaq closed off just less than a point. Fed policymakers decided today to raise interest rates for the 14th time. CBS News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus says they left the door open for one more.
The Federal Reserve took out the word measured in its statement following its interest rate meeting. Many took that to mean that the Federal Reserve may start to ease its foot off the pedal a bit and not raise interest rates as aggressively in the future, although many economists are still banking on another quarter point rise at the Fed's next meeting on March 28th.
This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep. Deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80 Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the bomb, Tiger Bomb, and put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
Why do energy drinks make you crash? I'm Dr. James Bragman, host of Prescription for Health. The answer is large amounts of sugar and caffeine. That's why I recommend 5-Hour Energy. It gives you hours of energy without the crash. 5-Hour Energy contains B vitamins, enzymes, and amino acids. Zero sugar and just enough caffeine. So if your energy drink makes you crash, then switch to 5-Hour Energy. Hours of energy now, no crash later.
Go straight to your nearest Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, GNC, or 7-Eleven now for 5-Hour Energy.
ABC News co-anchor Bob Woodruff and cameraman Doug Voter back on U.S. soil. CBS News reporter Tom Foti says the two journalists seriously wounded in Iraq have just arrived at the Naval Medical Center in Maryland.
The wounded ABC newsmen arrived from Germany at Andrews Air Force Base. Their destination, this famed Naval Medical Center, whose specialties include treatment of serious head injuries. Since the start of the Iraq War, some 2,000 wounded servicemen and women have been treated here. Family members and senior ABC News officials are meeting the motorcade here, and we are told that it is possible that they will have a brief update on the conditions of Bob Woodruff and Doug Vogt a bit later on. Tom Foti, CBS News at the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland.
The Virginia Senate has approved a bill designating Shenandoah as Virginia's interim state song. The bill now goes to the House. Carry Me Back was retired in 97 because of lyrics that some people found to be racially offensive. I'm Lou Mulligano. CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you can do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life. Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart. Because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. As you can probably already tell, this is Matt Renner, his producer. Today I'm filling in for Peter because he is under the weather and it's hard to talk when you have laryngitis. So, in an attempt to stave that off, I'll be your host today. We'll be hosting 3 hours of interactive progressive talk radio right here on KRXA 540 and KGOE 1480 up in Eureka. I want to invite you to call in. Our number here is 831-899-KRXA if you're from the Central Coast. And if you're calling from up north, give us a call at 1-888-579-2540. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. Alito is on the court. It's official. And I have to say that I'm very proud of the progressive movement for the effort and the success we had in fighting that nomination. We all know that we are not represented in the Senate, and it takes a lot of work to get those people to start paying attention to you. Unfortunately, the filibuster attempt did not go through, but that's not that surprising, and we have shown the senators that they have to listen to us on the left. A big part of the calls and the movement of some of the senators to actually support the filibuster was due to you and me and everyone who's listening and who called in and made their voices heard, as well as the bloggers who presented the facts and presented a really strong case against this radical nominee. Now, we'll be getting to him later in the show. First, I want to welcome Bob Fitrakis back on the show. Bob is a political science professor in the Social and Behavioral Sciences Department at Columbus State Community College, where he won a Distinguished Teaching Award in 1991. And he's announced he's running for the governor of Ohio in November. And he's also the editor of freepress.org. What's going on, Bob? How are you doing?
Oh, well, would be doing better, but the Republicans passed House Bill 3 today.
the voter suppression bill in the state of Ohio.
And that's why I wanted to bring Bob on today. We're going to talk about House Bill 3. First of all, Bob, what is House Bill 3?
Well, House Bill 3 basically suppresses up to 17% of the Ohio voters. It, like the state of Georgia, they're going to require IDs now, but they want a driver's license or a utility bill in your name or a government check. The problem is we have a lot of working poor in Ohio that often are in apartments that the utility bills in somebody else's name or paid for by the apartment complex, and they don't have driver's license. We have a lot of elderly that live in nursing homes and assisted living. So and we also have a lot of college students who voted last time, and there was a ruling by the Republicans and put into this bill that a state college ID, even with your address on it, does not constitute a state ID.
Wow. So the college ID will not work for voting in Ohio. Well, you know, the question comes up, Bob, who does this leave left to vote?
Well, a lot of Republicans. some of the other things it does is I was one of the four attorneys that sued to challenge the election results, and we discovered a lot of material. It's been the basis of two books I've written and a third book of documents that I'm writing with for the New Press. But now the new bill says that you can't challenge a federal election under Ohio law.
Very
so
interesting.
If the federal presidential vote or congressional or Senate vote goes bad, you have to go to Congress.
Hmm, and that's different because the 2004 challenge was actually in the state of Ohio, right?
Sure.
And that was organized by people like, was it David Cobb?
David Cobb actually did the recount, and that's affected as well.
I see.
Two things were done in 2004. One, Cliff Arnebeck and I and Susan Truitt and Pete Karski challenged the result. Dave Cobb recounted.
Oh, right, okay.
They've just raised the amount it will cost the recount by five times the original amount. So it took David Cobb about $111,000 to recount. Now it'll take him, you know, more than $500,000.
Now, dare I ask, but where does this House Bill 3 come from?
Well, it comes directly from the White House. It really was orchestrated. This is Karl Rove stuff here. It's one of the oddest stories ever. Because of the massive voter suppression in Ohio and the first ever challenge to an entire electoral college slate of votes, Congressman Bob May, of course, who's now under investigation for criminal activity, called these hearings. And at the hearings, this man appeared who no one knew who he was. He called himself Thor Hearn. He represented a so-called voting rights group, the American Voting Rights Institute. He gets up before Congressman Ney and says the only illegal activity in Ohio, not the missing machines, not the fraudulent vote counts, was that the NAACP was paying people in crack to register to vote. So he brings up this incredibly racist image of this venerated civil rights group fighting who fought against civil rights, that they were trying to register people by paying them in crack.
That's one of the most unbelievable stories I've ever heard.
Oh, it gets even better because Mark F. Hearn of the American Voting Rights Institute was the chief counsel for Bush Cheney in the 2004 election. He's never identified himself with any voting rights group. So the chief counsel to the president, Bush Cheney re-election, shows up with this story. And then another man, Mark Vogel, Alex Vogel, indemnifies this guy in Wood County, Ohio, who sues claiming that he witnessed, you know, this crack for cocaine. They later, of course, withdrew the suit. But Alex Vogel works for Bill Frist, and he also has worked for Dick Cheney.
I mean, Bob, the thing that this brings up is, I mean, you and I are not surprised by the tactics of the right wing, but they're paying a lot of attention to Ohio. And one thing you point out in your new article up on the Free Press that our listeners can get to at freepress.org is that every president has had to carry Ohio except for John F. Kennedy when they've been elected to the White House.
Sure, and he didn't have to carry Ohio because he had Texas and Lyndon Johnson, which isn't a possibility now.
Right.
So, yes, every single Republican president that has won because they carried Ohio. No Republican president has ever won who didn't carry Ohio.
Wow. Well, this is very important stuff, and I want to have all of our listeners go to the freepress.org to check it out. We're going to go to a break now, Bob, but we'll pick it right back up on the other side. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host today. My name is Matt Renner. I'm usually the producer, the guy answering the phones, but today I'm in front of the mic, and I'm rocking with you guys. It's great to have you listening. We'll be right back. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies.
Dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
This is Matt Renner, hosting the Peter B. Collins Show today. We're taking your calls. We are doing some live talk radio here with Bob Petrakis. Before we get back to that interview, which is so important, this is, you know, this is it. This is our fight to keep control of our vote It's a vital bill that just passed. It's going to really cripple, in his words, cripple the possibility of statewide recounts and actually end the process of state-based challenges to federal elections in Ohio. Before we do that, I want to let you know some of our upcoming guests. We're going to talk to Loretta Ross from Sistersong.net, Vince Eisner with FaithfulAmerica.org, Andrea Schlesinger with DrumMajorInstitute.org, and of course our weekly check-in with Melanie Sloan and Trent Lang to talk about the new clean elections bill in California. But first, let's get back to it. Bob, we got a couple calls. Or we got a caller holding. I want to get right to it. Let's see if we can get Dave online. Dave?
Yes, Matt and Bob.
Hey, Dave.
I believe, clearly I'm convinced that we have these cons in power by virtue of election fraud. They cheated in every way they could, primarily the use of these untraceable machines. And they don't intend to leave power. And you're doing a wonderful thing, and if you still have your suit active, eventually it'll be appealed to a Supreme Court that today just took on a new complexion.
That's an important point. Bob, how does this new Supreme Court nominee affect, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, the new Supreme Court justice affect the prospects for actually creating some kind of reform in this area?
Well, I don't think it bodes well with someone that conservative. I think he'd be very reluctant to look into state election results, and he would probably say that I need to go to the House of Representatives if I had any complaints about presidential or congressional elections. I think you're not going to get much help there with equal protection or some of the areas we would sue under.
Dave, was there another question?
Well, I think he'd be more inclined to say, I rule in favor of however the White House wants me to rule.
That's a good point, Dave.
I think that's what you're going to be up against. Thank you. You're doing a hell of a good job, Tim.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. So, Bob, as we were saying before, I just want to get a couple more of the details out about House Bill 3. It's going to increase the fees paid for a challenge or for a recount, I'm sorry. And it's going to demand voter IDs for people who want to actually vote, right? I think that's a huge strategy that they've been trying to implement in this country to discriminate against people who are poor and not, or elderly and not used to driving and don't have just regular driver's licenses readily available. This has been attempted in other states, but it actually passed today in Ohio, huh?
Yeah, it passed. Another thing it does that's real interesting is it essentially makes it impossible to do a statewide voter registration drive. Anybody in the state of Ohio, in order to register votes, you have to register separately now in all 88 counties and undergo
what?
Training. And all but 9 of these counties are run by Republicans.
Wow.
So you're going to have to go to essentially 79 Republican counties, and they can make you take a week's worth of training before you can get signatures in their county.
Wow. So you actually have to be a certified person
at the county level, yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That's awful.
Well, that's a direct result of the, ACORN and Move On and NAACP and ACT and all those groups that came in and registered voters.
Right. I was actually part of an effort to register voters in Reno, and I know that, it was something I did on the spur of the moment, decided to go up there and help out. And I wouldn't be able to do that unless I had gone through training under the county supervision, right?
Correct. And
wow.
Not only that, it's a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a felony for violating that law.
That's amazing. So it looks like this bill is locking in Republican control, at least at the federal level. How does it affect the state, statewide races?
They control the state, and they've done that through absolute corruption, stealing the money out of the Bureau of Workers' Comp and laundering it into Republican campaigns. That's the same CoinGate scandal involving Tom Noe. Now, you still can challenge a state election, but the Republicans pretty much dominate the state. They're also making it virtually impossible to get a statewide referendum and initiative because you have to do that county by county as well. There's one ray of hope. If we can raise enough money in 90 days,
before this bill should be signed very shortly by the governor, but we'd have 90 days to put it on the ballot to repeal it before it goes into effect.
Wow.
So we could still do a statewide initiative if we can raise the money.
How can my listeners help out?
Well, they can go to freepress.org and donate at the election protection. That money will go to doing the research on these issues for that campaign. So freepress.org actually has an election protection litigation fund that they can contribute to.
Now, we're coming up on our time limit here, but I wanted to get to another story real quick. I was looking at the Free Press today, and I saw a new article you posted entitled, "Did the NSA Help Bush Hack the Vote?" And I think it's an important question. At first, I was surprised because, well, I wasn't actually surprised, but it seems like a loose connection. But as you go on to point out, that the Bush administration seems to be willing to use the NSA at their behest. And how much better, you know, now that we have Diebold machines, it seems like a pretty reasonable reasonable case to make that the NSA would be involved in data collection there as well.
And not only if they didn't directly assist, the information, you know, that they're wholesaling and giving to the president is going to inadvertently.
Are you in traffic, Bob?
Yeah, we were almost done in by a truck. I was worried about the NSA sending a signal down.
Oops. That's like that movie, Sirion.
I'm on my way up to Cleveland to speak at a rally asking the president to step down. But clearly that information level would be of tremendous use to the president, because all these results are going over the Internet. They're being transmitted. You remember Gahanna Ward 1B, where the 638 people voted and the president received 4,258 votes.
Wow. Yeah.
So the NSA is essentially accessing these same networks. We know that two county levels, somebody accessed them through wireless remote. So the question is whether that information gathered by the NSA was used to spy on John Kerry and to keep track of the election results. The odd thing about the election in Ohio is Kerry's winning 51-48, and right at the close of polls, as it's later projected later in the evening, there seemed to be like somebody flipped a switch and the numbers completely went the other way, 51-48 for Bush.
Right.
I mean, just an unprecedented, which they've never been able to explain, last-second switch of votes.
And that happened also in 2005, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that was even more. I mean, all the polls were predicting that it wasn't so much the exit polls, but all the tracking polls, you know, said that the ballot initiatives were going to pass essentially 2-1, and then they all failed by the same amount. But we know in that election a lot of these Diebold machines had recalibrated and actually were recording the votes incorrectly, the opposite way. So we think really the vote was flipped electronically.
Wow. Well, quickly, we have about a minute left here, but I want to ask you, what do you see the prospects for doing an actual exit poll in the next upcoming, the 2006 elections? Because I've heard a lot of reports that they're not even going to be done anymore because people are afraid to be so wrong.
Well, the consortium announced that it wasn't going to do them anymore. That, you know, and again, they had to backpedal and say Bush won, and they've had to embarrass themselves by making up stuff like Republican women got shy in the late afternoon only in rural Republican counties. I mean, stuff that's so unbelievable, they're being laughed, laughed away by statisticians. Steve Friedman from Penn's got a new book coming out, and what we're finding is that about a third of the Kerry votes, around 33% of the Kerry votes in rural-dominated counties seem to be missing. That is, the people who came out and said, "I voted for Kerry," those votes aren't showing up in the certified vote result.
Wow. Well, we got to run here, Bob, but I want to thank you very much. This is Bob Fitrakis, and we'll have you back on with Peter as soon as possible. We want to hear about your mayoral run when you have a chance to talk to us again. Bob Fitrakis on the Peter B. Collins Show. Man, I want to be like him when I grow up. We'll talk to you soon. Coming up next is Loretta Ross.
Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. But now I can invite you to join me on my own show, Talking Matters, starting right here Saturday, February 11, 3 to 5 p.m. We'll talk about matters that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. We'll explore your dreams, secrets, hopes, and sorrows. How are you really dealing with today's world? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Tune in for inspiring stories, useful ideas, and surprising ahas. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web, and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th. Travel the world without packing a suitcase.
Until I found I was contingent upon some corporate sponsorship. And if Jesus was alive today, he'd be incarcerated with the rest of the brothers. But that would have a great apartment on the Upper East Side. Be a guest, BJ, of Total Request Style.
This is Matt Renner, hosting the Peter B. Collins Show today. posting for Peter. He's feeling a little under the weather, but it's my pleasure to step up to the plate and fill in for him. I love doing progressive radio. It just feels so good to talk to a listening audience who's really listening. This isn't the audience that's sitting back, the ditto heads you hear on conservative talk radio. You're a bunch of people who like to get active, like to call into radio shows and speak your mind and think for yourself. I'm very excited about our next interview here. We're going to speak with Loretta Ross. Loretta Ross is the national coordinator of Sister Song Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective, a network founded in 1997 of 76 women of color and allied organizations that work on reproductive health issues. In 2004, Ms. Ross was national co-director of the April 25, 2004 March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C., which was the largest protest march in U.S. history. Loretta, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Well, it's our pleasure, or my pleasure, and my listening audience's pleasure. We need to talk to you today because the passage or the confirmation of Samuel Alito is, in my eyes, one of the scariest things that has happened under this administration. And that's saying a lot, given that we have the preemptive war in Iraq and just, you know, I think it's on par with that, in my opinion, just because it's going to affect the lives of so many people in the United States drastically. And I want to hear what you have to say about that from your perspective. But first, I want you to introduce your organization and tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, Sister Song was founded almost a decade ago as a coalition of individual women of color reproductive health organizations. We represent African American, Latina, Asian Pacific Islander, and Native American indigenous women's organizations that have come together to do collectively what we can't do individually, which is basically change the reproductive health conditions in our communities. We found that by working through a collective or a coalition, we had more power, we had more impact, and we certainly were able to raise more money. And so that's what Sister Song is and does. We're a part of the pro-choice movement, but we're also separate from the pro-choice movement because we fight as hard for the right to have a child as to not have a child. Because we're coming from communities where we've experienced sterilization abuse, population control, dangerous contraceptives. I mean, you listed, we've been there. And so Sister Song is part of our movement, but we distinguish ourselves. And I should say for your listening audience that not everybody in Sister Song is pro-choice, that we're the collective that talks about what women more have in common than what we have dividing us.
I see. Well, I have a question actually for you before we get into the Alito discussion. I understand that. How much work do you guys do with Planned Parenthood? Because I've heard some concern about Planned Parenthood being a part of a eugenics organization or being founded by a eugenicist.
Well, that's not quite accurate. The truth is that Margaret Sanger, as she was trying to get birth control decriminalized because of the 1873 Comstock laws, well, when she came up, she actually was a socialist and a feminist.
Wow.
And most people don't know that about her. What happened was that in her drive to legitimate family planning and get broader support for family planning, she made a mistake that we even see replicated today. She moved to the right. She decided to accept the support for eugenicists because they were pro-family planning for all the wrong reasons, and she actually moved away from her earliest socialist leanings that had her look at family planning as a source of women's empowerment.
Well, I appreciate you clearing that up for me. That was an issue that I've been wondering about now for a couple of years.
Well, I just want to finish because she did not stay with the eugenicists. She actually saw the racism of the eugenicists and then backed away from that, but she's been ever forever tainted by having flirted with them.
Right. Okay, great. Well, now, I want to get your perspective on the Alito nomination. What do you see the effect being in the short term?
Well, I actually try to be optimistic about the Alito nomination.
Wow.
I tend to separate his qualifications from his opinions.
Okay.
I think he is an eminently qualified Supreme Court justice.
In terms of his legal background?
In terms of his history on the bench, his background, his experience at being a judge, which is certainly, we couldn't say that for Harriet Myers.
Okay.
I mean, so as far as his qualifications go, I think that he is a decent candidate. Now, what I differ with him is on his opinions. I don't believe that the strict constitutional interpretations and the biases that he displays towards the government, towards employers, the hostility towards the environment, I mean, things that he believes cause me considerable worry.
Right.
But the reason I started off by saying that I remain somewhat optimistic is that I remember how concerned we were when Kennedy and O'Connor were appointed to the bench because they were conservative justices appointed. And we thought that they would let ideology trump their legal decisions. They turned out to be much more fair and balanced than anybody who was left, liberal, or progressive expected.
Right.
And it's actually ironic that Kennedy is now going to occupy the O'Connor position and be like the swing vote.
Well, I mean, my only issue with that is that he, because given his background as a very experienced justice or judge, he's written piece after piece supporting the government and pro-executive power and has come out definitely opposed to the Roe vs. Wade case. So I'm not as optimistic.
That's where my concern is. So that's where I was getting to. It's his ideology that I have problems with.
Right.
That he is hostile to women's rights, that he is hostile to workers' rights, to immigrant rights, to the environment. He sides against all the things I would want him to support. For example, during his confirmation hearings, when he was asked whether he thought Roe v. Wade was settled law in the land, and he said no, I probably would have followed up and said, well, do you think Brown v. Board of Education is settled law?
Right, right, absolutely.
I mean, where do we start unpacking and returning it back to the day when only property-owning white men had any rights?
Right. Well, you know, we started a while ago, but that's just my opinion. Loretta, I wanted to get your opinion on this because I feel this is something I feel pretty strongly about, that there's a lack of understanding in the progressive community. Not to say that they didn't fight hard against Alito, but I want to know what you think the issue is going to be that's going to galvanize Democrats and get the grassroots out there, because as we saw with Alito, sure, we swung 25 senators to vote for a filibuster, but it wasn't the mobilization effect that I was counting on when somebody who's so hostile towards women's rights and so hostile towards the rights of our Constitution that are given to every citizen in this country is proposed before the Supreme Court. I mean, do you see that? I mean, in your line of work, you probably don't see a lack of interest in women's rights, but do you understand what I'm saying in terms of, like, what is actually going to get Democrats out and get them mobilized?
Well, first of all, our Democratic leadership has to show some cojones. They just don't have the spines, the balls that I want them to have. I don't want one Republican Party and a Republican light.
Right.
And unfortunately, there are people in power in Washington who are convinced that by imitating the Republicans, that's the way to win elections. Not only are they wrong philosophically, they're wrong in terms of results.
Right.
Why would somebody vote for a fake Republican when they can get the real thing?
Right.
They don't distinguish themselves as standing for separate values, separate policies than the Republicans. And so we really don't have people within those two major parties that represent progressive interests.
Loretta, sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to say that it says here on your bio that you're an expert in human rights, women's issues, diversity issues, hate groups, and right-wing organizations. So from your understanding of right-wing organizations, what is it that you've seen that they do to mobilize their constituents to actually be able to affect and push their representatives to the right that we could do similarly on the left?
Well, first of all, they agree to disagree and unite against us. They don't necessarily say we all have to think alike. There's a lot of conflict and competition on the right. The point is, but when it comes to presenting a united front against us, they do that better. We on the left, we tend to delight in our differences. We make all kinds of reasons for why we can't come together. And we get very self-righteous about it because we'd rather be right than anything else, at least in our own small minds. And so I think they practice unity, public unity, better than we do. Secondly, I think that they better articulate a vision for what they want. I've been involved in the last 10 years in getting social justice movements in this country to learn about and understand the human rights framework, because this is something that movements around the world use, but somehow in the United States we think we're too good to learn from people in other countries.
Right.
Like, we know it all. We've got all the answers we've ever needed. And we don't bring human rights home. We don't define the injustices against us as human rights violations. We don't put a positive vision out there for what the full achievement of people's human rights would look like. We don't describe a worldview that is human rights-based so that we know what we stand for, not just what we stand against. We're really good at protesting what we don't like, but we're not at all as good as talking about what we want. And particularly when we talk about what we want, we tend to use formulaic and solutions that just don't make sense to a lot of people. I mean, I have friends of mine who are still active in the socialist and communist movements that are still talking about, well, let's overthrow capitalism. Well, that might be a great dream, but how are you going to pay for a poor child to have food today?
Right.
I mean, just ground this in reality, people.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because I agree with you. I mean, it seems like as soon as there's a splinter or a problem on the left, people start attacking each other and kind of eating our own. And what we need to get back to is a sense of a national unity that can in some way bring together all these different parts of the progressive movement under a larger tent and actually create a representative government that respects our rights and really votes in our interest when it comes to Supreme Court justices. I mean, it was amazing to me to see, was it 4 Democrats actually cross over and vote for Alito?
Right. Again, Republican light. Wondering about, I'm sure, their constituencies at home that may punish them for not voting Republican. And I'm saying, but you ran as a Democrat. What did you articulate as your values as a Democrat that makes you so afraid of people punishing you for not acting Republican? I mean, the whole system needs to be interrogated. And I want to go back to one particular point that
pissed me off
about Alito.
Before we get there, I want to get back to that. We're going to take a break first, and
okay,
we'll pick it up right on the other side. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host today, Matt Renner. And I want to play a little song for you. And this is something I don't want us to do. This is Jimi Hendrix with Wait Until Tomorrow.
Standing here freezing inside your golden garden. I've got my ladder.
Galante Vineyards cordially invites you to their free wine futures open house from 1 to 5 p.m. on February 4th. Sample their upcoming wines directly from the barrel. Secure your future in Galante's fabulous wines and save 20%. The winery is located at 18181 Kachawa Road, just a short drive from Carmel Valley Village. RSVP at 1-800-GALANTE or just stop by and say hi. For complete directions, more information on the open house, or to read about Galante Vineyards, visit the web at galantevineyards.com.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host today, Matt Renner. We're speaking with Loretta Ross, the national coordinator of Sister Song. Their organization's online at sistersong.net. And Loretta, thanks for joining us today. We're talking about the Alito nomination. I cut you off right before the break. There was something else that annoyed you about the Alito nomination. I'm sorry, the Alito confirmation.
Well, the fact that he was allowed to be so evasive and forgetful. I mean, anybody applying for a job in this country should be compelled to answer questions forthrightly, honestly, and not allowed to forget, oops, I forgot I was unemployed for 10 years or whatever, when you're in the process of being interviewed for that job. So I think that we need to reorganize the confirmation process and basically say that nominees who evade questions are, by definition, not qualified to serve.
Right.
Because this has such an impact on our lives that we shouldn't allow them to duck and dodge.
Right.
And the Democrats are afraid to hold that standard up there because they fear that when they put a candidate forward, that they want their candidate to have the opportunity to duck and dodge. Well, I think the days of ducking and dodging are over, and we should demand that.
Well, your point's well taken. I mean, you can't really go into, I don't know, even a Walmart with a resume with a 10-year hole and say, I'm not really sure what I was doing during that time. That could have been, you know, or, you know, references with holes in it or old references from, like, the 80s. I agree with you. That's a really good point, especially for the highest court in our land that makes decisions that affect us every day.
Exactly. And I mean, there's so much wrong with our democracy, and I'm so proud to be an American, and I'm so pained to be an American at the same time.
I feel you.
But that's something we as people who enjoy and have to protect our democracy should demand. Confirmation processes that are more honest, more transparent, more penetrating. If you duck and dodge, by definition, you should not be confirmed.
Now, something you just said is very important, that it is an amazing gift to be an American citizen. And at the same time, people with minds on their necks or inside their heads who actually care about this country have a great burden to bear. I mean, personally, I wish that sometimes I could just crawl into a hole of, you know, watching TV and not leaving my house so that I didn't actually have to get up in the mornings and deal with this every day. But there's something that keeps us coming back. What is it personally that has made you, day after day, drive towards some kind of equality in this country?
Well, I'm lucky to be a grassroots activist. I get to work with people every day and personally see the light bulbs go off to
right.
be able to explain to people something they didn't understand. And I'm I'm lucky enough to be the vehicle to help people get greater consciousness. So whenever I do that, it's like sticking my finger into a light socket. I get re-energized. The only time I get exhausted and cynical and burnt out is when I lift my lens up and look at what the national politics are.
Right.
But when you stay in community and you work with community folks, it is unbelievably energizing.
Well, you brought up a very important point, that is the grassroots organizing is so fundamentally fulfilling when it actually works well and when you can pull things off like the largest protest march in U.S. history. One question I have for you that's something that is somewhat new to me but is pretty disturbing is these AstroTurf organizations, which are fake grassroots organizations, and, you know, they use cash instead of, you know, actual ideals to motivate people to pressure their senators and go out and register voters and whatnot. Have you seen the effect of those AstroTurf organizations, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I call it the invisible marching millions. I mean, part of it is their own self-promotion. They're little more than direct mail houses that amass a lot of money and purport to represent people that they may or may not represent. But part of it is the fault of the media, the mainstream media in particular. I mean, we can have 1,150,000 people march for women's rights, and if 5,000 people show up to protest us, the media treats that as equally representative.
Right.
I mean, you can't win in such a rigged game.
Yeah. Well, Loretta, that brings me back to the question I asked you before, is where is the outrage over this nomination? Where is the march on Washington? What is it the organization's doing to kind of bring the attention back to Roe versus Wade or women's privacy rights and privacy rights of all U.S. citizens after this confirmation?
Well, part of our problem is that we need a population to be detoxed from Walmart. It is very hard to get people mobilized to protect their interests when they're fearful that if they do anything, they're going to lose what little privilege and security and comfort that they have. And I'm not into taking away people's security and comfort. Lord knows we've worked too hard to get to a comfortable and secure place. I mean, my mother spent her whole life working on her hands and knees as a domestic service. I don't want her to have to return to her reality to get consciousness.
Right.
At the same time, we have to be able to explain things to people better. We have to come off of our own self-righteousness. I mean, I spend a lot of time talking to conservatives, people with whom I have very little ideological agreement, but we have commonalities as human beings. We all want our kids to be safe. We all want our kids to have opportunities to go to college. We all want our chance to earn a decent living.
Right.
We're willing to work, but we need to be paid fairly for it. So we have to come off of our ideological high horses and talk to people in very human terms. I love getting on conservative talk shows because I don't talk about socialism and communism on those shows.
Right.
That would turn them off so badly. But I can talk about my father, who was in the Army for 26 years, and when he retired and needed to go into a nursing home, Uncle Sam broke the deal with him, and he only got 3 days in the nursing home after 26 years worth of service.
Wow.
That gets everybody.
Right.
Because they understand when somebody's broken a promise and you served your country.
Right.
There's a way to talk about our issues in a way that doesn't humiliate people, that doesn't make them feel stupid for not knowing what you know, that speaks to our common humanity.
Loretta, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to offer another last word if you want to give one to our listeners. Our listeners, you can find your website at sistersong.net, and I assume that I looked at it today briefly, but you have articles up there where people can get more resources and more understanding of what your organization does. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I would say this is not the worst times I've seen in my life. I remember when President Nixon was elected, and I thought the world was going to hell. And then Reagan came, and I thought it was bad. Then Bush 1 came. Now we got Bush rebound. I think that we all just need to keep our eye on the prize, figure out how to be in the human family together, not hurting each other, and everything will be all right.
Well, I appreciate that. We need more kind words and more support these days. As we go into the State of the Union, that is going to be full of lies and manipulation as usual. Loretta, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That was Loretta Ross from the National Coordination of the Sister Song Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective. I'm Matt Renner. I'm hosting the Peter B. Collins Show today. Leave you with a little Bob Marley on the way out here. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today. Remember, flowers say it all.
There are radio talk shows.
Go ahead and send the signal through.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
There we go, baby. You're the best. I love you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Do I get charged for that?
No, not at all. It's part of your service.
Have a good day.
Please know we are here whenever you need us.
All right. Thank you.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar.
Make insurance more affordable and promote U.S. competitiveness. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
The bill which outlawed extreme late-term abortions has been struck down by the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. The reason? No provision for protecting the health of an endangered pregnant woman. Legal experts say that case could wind up at the Supreme Court sooner rather than later. The widow of Martin Luther King Jr., the link between his life and his legacy, has died. Coretta Scott King was in Rosarito Beach, Mexico, when the end came.
He called us to be drum majors. And drum majors for justice and for peace and for righteousness, for love.
She just never got over the massive stroke last August. Reverend Jesse Jackson.
She was his shoulder. She was his partner. And together, it was their companionship that gave him the strength to fight the hate.
Coretta Scott King was 78. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Culver's on the mound.
He's got the fastest fastball in the league.
Here's the pitch. Whoa, look out!
Speed isn't worth much without accuracy. Something to keep in mind when shopping for car insurance, too. With Progressive Direct, the rate you get quickly is also accurate, not an estimate. You can even buy your policy instantly. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and talk to a licensed professional 24/7. That's 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Housing Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Kenneth Lay and Jeffrey Skilling are on trial in Houston for the spectacular multi-billion-dollar collapse of what was once the seventh largest company in America, Enron. Opening arguments are done. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen was there.
One of the phrases...
Sorry about that to our Eureka listeners. We got a little bit more news than we wanted there. This is Matt Renner. I'm filling in for my boss, Peter B. Collins. I'm usually his producer. But when he is out, like he is today, he's feeling under the weather. He asked me to step up and fill in for him. I brought in a good friend of mine. His name is Yuri Beckelman. He is a super senior at California State University of Monterey Bay. I wanted him to come in and host with me because hopefully I'm going to get him on my other show that's on Sundays on KRXA down here and have him help me out every once in a while. So, Yuri, welcome. And if you want to give a little background, Yuri, I'd love to hear it, and our listeners would too.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Matt. Yeah, we're definitely good friends. I'm a super senior at CSU Monterey Bay.
majoring in global studies, you know, an interest in politics, interest in helping my community, and interest in discussing progressive politics. That's why I'm here with Matt today.
Sweet. Well, we are going to bring on Vince Eisner from FaithfulAmerica.org. But before we do, we're going to talk about his alternative to the State of the Union speech. But before we do that, I want to play a little clip from another alternative to the State of the Union speech. This is a little bit edited, but it's in President Bush's voice. So let's see. This is what he really means when he gives some of this rhetoric out tonight.
Mr. Speaker, Vice President Cheney, members of Congress, distinguished citizens and fellow citizens. Every year, by law and by custom, we meet here to threaten the world. The American flag stands for corporate scandals, recession, stock market declines, blackmail, terror, burning with hot irons, dripping acid on the skin, mutilation with electric drills, cutting out tongues, and rape.
Well, that's enough of that because I want to get right to our guest here. But, you know, let's be honest when we watch this speech and let's think about what America has really stood for. And let's hear what Vince, I want to hear what you think. Vince is the director of FaithfulAmerica.org. Vince, first, tell me a little bit about your organization.
Well, thanks, Matt. First, let me say thank you for having me join your program. You know, I think we can just wrap things up and go on home tonight after the clip that you just played.
Well, I want to hear a more positive message, Vince.
Well, we have a more positive message, and we hope that we hear more positive messages later this evening as well. But let me tell you first quickly about FaithfulAmerica.org. We are about a year and a half old. We are a program of the National Council of Churches. We are an interfaith program, a community of people online who believe that our collective faith, however broadly or uniquely that faith is expressed, has a word to say about our nation's government and its priorities. And so that's why we're here.
Well, that sounds excellent. I think that goes right along with a lot of the beliefs of our listeners. I mean, personally, I'm kind of a pantheist / agnostic. I don't really claim a faith. I think that God is an energy that we all harness within ourselves. And I appreciate that this is a very inclusive State of the Union speech because, you know, that's something that we really are lacking these days in the United States. Yuri, what do you think?
Well, I definitely appreciate it. I grew up in a family, a mixed family, a Baptist and Jewish family, and I think that both of my parents were a little turned off by religion after being brought up in a pretty conservative, religious family. And when they offered it to me, it was offered as, if you would like to learn about your culture and your history. And when I went to shul and synagogue, it was very open. You know, it was however much faith you wanted. So it's really good for people that are younger who haven't found their way in life or their faith to have this open religion for them to join.
Vince, sorry, go ahead, Vince.
Yes, I found you're not alone. There are a lot of people who would be able to share your story. The interesting thing is that the people in Faithful America do tend to represent many different faith groups, that are from Buddhists to Wiccans to Christians to Jews. We also have a lot of folks that I call coffee house believers, that are people who don't necessarily adhere to a particular faith, but those faith issues are extremely important. And not only that, the conscience behind the faith, the conscience that informs the faith, the standards of the heart and the head, all are very important. So Faithful America really has a very broad base.
The reason we got your press release and wanted to have you on is because you've composed an alternative to the State of the Union. I lost the title here, but it's your interpretation of where we need to go and where we're at. And some of the subtitles are justice, mercy, and walk humbly. And I want you to take those one at a time. Let's start with justice and just talk about this section and what it is. Let's tell everyone where they can find it too.
Okay, it's online and it's in three different formats, but it's online at faithfulamerica.org. We have about 100,000 people signed up for faithfulamerica.org to receive weekly email blasts that that enable people to write to their congressman, write to the president of the Senate, or local elected officials about certain subjects. And faithfulamerica.org is kind of the launching pad for that. So if you want to learn more about how we work and the kinds of things that we do, you can go there. But the Faithful State of the Union really came about as it really came about several of us discussing if we took an overlay of the prophet Micah's admonition to us, that is, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. If we overlaid that admonition of the prophet over President Bush's not just his speech, but his actions and the actions of Congress over the past few years, what would it look like? And so that's why we decided that we would create a faithful State of the Union. How's our union shaping up and doing in light of doing justice, loving mercy, walking humbly? And so we do break down the faithful State of the Union address along those lines.
Let's start with justice, because I think I want to read one piece here that I really liked. It jumped out at me. It says here that people of faith in the United States do not march lockstep to the drums of fundamentalism, and we must resist the claims of those who claim to speak for the people of faith and conscience everywhere.
Well, it's very interesting you should begin with that, because of the news that has just been released about Alito's confirmation and swearing in. A lot of people had grave reservations about Justice Alito. We won't know for a while, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's give him a chance to show that he is the kind of judge that he says he wants to be. And so, you know, my feeling is let's give the guy a chance. Having said that, my office is right next door to Supreme Court, and I got this idea to begin with justice in walking past the Supreme Court along the back side of it, that is the east side, and along the pediment there were these words, "Justice, the guardian of liberty." Those words are particularly important for two reasons. Number one, because it does not say justice, the guardian of liberty for some, or for fundamentalists, or for militarists. It implies for all. And the second thing is it's on the back door. And I find that interesting, because if you want to influence the courts, if you have a motivation to do that, you're not going to stand at the front of the Supreme Court and say, my beliefs are righter than yours, and so I think you should interpret the law in light of me. But a lot of people, a lot of groups, and recently some fundamentalist groups have done that, used the back door as a way to try to influence voting of the Supreme Court so that the people sitting on the bench reflect their ultra-conservative views.
Right. Well,
that's a concern.
I agree with you in that it's the point that you make with justice for all really ties in well to the definition of, I mean, the role religion plays in the United States, that we need to protect the right to be religious of any kind and to also abstain from religion. And I think that your point here is that there's justice for all and not just justice for some, and those words are actually inscribed on the back of the Supreme Court. I think that's pretty excellent motivation right there to begin a State of the Union address. I want to pick up right there when we come back. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host today, Matt Renner. I'm sitting in with my friend Yuri Beckelman.
How's it going, everyone?
And we will be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get
get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
Amy Knight with Metro Traffic. Let's hear it.
Actually, it's not bad this afternoon. It's pretty quiet out there. In fact, we're looking good right now on Highway 1 along the coast. No stalls or accidents to report from Santa Cruz all the way down to Moss Landing in Monterey. 68 also checking in clear between Monterey and Salinas. Highway 101 is moving at the speed limit. Prunedale all the way up into Gilroy and even into South San Jose. And if you're traveling on Highway 25 or 152 through Gilroy, traffic is moving at the speed limit. If you don't need different pain relievers, actually you don't need different pain relievers for different pains, wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. Amy will be back with us in about half an hour. And I want to let everyone know that CSUMB is having the Vagina Monologues on their campus. It's sponsored by Empower. And I'll give you some more information about that. I think it's on Valentine's Day. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, broadcasting live on KRXA and KGOE. And that's Blacklicious in the background, one of my favorite groups. I'm joined here today. My name is Matt Renner. I'm filling in for Peter, and I'm joined today by Yuri Beckelman.
This is a great group. I remember some friends hired them in high school to do a concert that
week.
That was good.
I wish, dude. I wish they'd come to my school. All right, we're going to cut that out. We got to get back to business here. Vince Eisner from Faithful America. I want to hear the rest of your message for the State of the Union. Me and Yuri have been reading this over the break, and before, of course, we had you on the air today. But it is excellent, and I want to move on now to the mercy section.
Okay. And, you know, before I do that, let me just say something about a comment I made just before the break about fundamentalism.
Sorry.
Which I talked about, but the fundamentalists are trying to load the courts. You know, the funny thing about fundamentalism, whether it's Christian, Jewish, whether it's Islamic fundamentalism, it has really nothing to do with what a person believes. It's all about how a person believes. And do you understand what I mean by that?
I'm following you. Yuri, you want to say something?
Well, I had a real interesting conversation with a friend recently who, when we were discussing women's rights in the Middle East, it was an open discussion. It was a very open discussion. But when she mentioned fundamentalism, she quickly stopped herself and said the actual term fundamentalism isn't anything wrong. It just means to get back to the fundamentals of your religion. So, you know, it's more of the idea of the zealotism rather than the fundamentals of it all.
That's right. I think, you know, because there are people who believe deeply in very, very conservative issues, and people would label them fundamentalists, but they make allowances for other people's beliefs. And so in that sense, they're not a fundamentalist, at least in the way we're using it. Fundamentalism, as one psychologist friend said to me, fundamentalism is not a theological position. It's a psychological condition. And it wasn't Jesse Jackson who said that either. But what he means by that is that if you believe something so strongly that you fail to make allowances for someone else's beliefs, that's when it becomes dangerous. There's nothing inherently wrong with putting the Ten Commandments on display, except that it does not allow for the display of other people's religion in that same place. In other words, it isn't the fact that that the courts in the past have tried to exclude a particular religion. They've tried to allow and to make room for all religion.
I think that the scariest thing of setting up the Ten Commandments in a court of law isn't necessarily the representation of religion to people who believe in it. But if you don't believe in that and you go into this court of law believing that you're going to get a fair shot, seeing these representations of a religion that doesn't necessarily have the same ideals as yours does, is a very scary thing, you know?
Well, there you go. And I believe the idea of the Just Us Sunday of several weeks ago, in which the James Dobson and I believe Jerry Falwell and some others were involved in making a massive effort to call members of Congress to recommend Alito to the courts, really wasn't. It had less to do with justice in the broad sense. It had to do with justice in the very narrowest, most fundamental sense. Now, I don't necessarily think that Alito is going to march lockstep to that either. I really hope that we'll see some tremendous work on through this man, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I hope you're right. It's a scary position to be in, given the times. And I mean, you outlined some of the issues that we're dealing with, and that his court is actually going to have to prosecute, or at least rule on, in terms of, you know, torture and detention in U.S. secret prisons. And that's something that I'd love to see him actually be a human on and not follow the Federalist Society on. But we'll see. So I have faith in the human spirit above all else. So I hope that actually does come through with Alito. I want to move on here because I think this is a very important section. In your mercy section of the faithful State of the Union, you have a quote from Robert Kennedy, and I want to read it quickly. This is such an important quote. It says, "The gross national product does not allow for the health of our children, the quality of their education, or the joy of their play. It does not include the beauty of our poetry, or the strength of our marriages, the intelligence of our public debate, or the integrity of our public officials. It measures neither our wit nor our courage, neither our wisdom nor our learning, neither our compassion nor our devotion to our country. It measures everything in short except that which makes life worthwhile. And it tells us everything about America except why we are proud that we are Americans." Now, why did you pick that quote? Because that's very powerful to me, but I want to hear why you decided to include it in the Faithful State of the Union.
Well, as a businessman in the past, I've had some meetings face to face with other businessmen in which very uncomfortable decisions were made, and they've looked at me and right square in the eye and said, "Well, you know, I hate to do this, but this is business." Well, it's not business. You know, if business is more than just a bottom line, dollars and cents. I think part of business is the way we live, the values that inform our decisions, and the budgets made in Washington are, because they represent the people of this country, they are inherently and will always be moral documents. The writer Frederick Buechner said, "If you want to know the kind of person you are, as distinct from the kind of person you like to think you are, take a look at where your feet carry you." That is, or as the writer James said, "Faith without works is dead." You know, we. Or as Jesus said, for that matter, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I think that we
make moral decisions with our dollars and cents, and the budgets that are crafted in D.C. are moral documents. And, you know, we might speak about compassion, but the truest measure, and I say this in the State of the Union address, the truest measure of our government's political will is made clear every time our government completes the sentence, pay to the order of.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. We talk a lot about human development index versus GNP. You know, the United Nations, it's whatever you think of them, and they've come up with this great model rather than just looking how much money is a nation or, you know, the top 1% of that nation is making. Let's look at other factors, including how many people in that nation can read, including, you know, how many people have access to health care. All these things really dictate, you know, the wealth of a nation rather than just, you know, the monetary funds sitting in their bank account. So I think that's a really good point.
We've got about a minute left here, Vincent. I want to open the floor to you to make another statement about the faithful United, the faithful State of the Union, and basically your message for the United States.
Well, our basic message is that what I just said, the budget of the United States is a moral document. The decisions we make militarily are moral decisions. If we decide to have spying and wiretaps without congressional approval, terrorism, national security, and the environment, the energy, the way that we choose to use our resources say far more about who we are as a nation and the direction we're headed than anything that can be said from a stage or a platform or the rotunda of the Capitol or the House chamber. We can talk about those things all day long, but if we're not backing it up with action, by helping to provide a living wage, by providing a moral budget that serves people instead of cutting $39 to $50 billion from the very poorest among us, then we really are.
Well, looks like we lost Vince there. He was on an internet phone.
Our speech can be found
there
on
you
the
are. Sorry, Vince, your phone's cutting in and out.
Are we back?
All right, Vince, your phone's cutting in and out, but we really appreciate your words. Everyone check it out. It's faithfulamerica.org, and that was Vince Eisner. He's the director there. Send him a kind word, because I think it's a very important message. We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monterey Bay Area, this is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Galante Vineyards cordially invites you to their free Wine Futures open house from 1 to 5 p.m. on February 4th. Sample their upcoming wines directly from the barrel. Secure your future in Galante's fabulous wines and save 20%. The winery is located at 18181 Kachawa Road, just a short drive from Carmel Valley Village. RSVP at 1-800-GALANTE or just stop by and say hi. For complete directions, more information on the open house, or to read about Galante Vineyards, visit the web at galantevineyards.com.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
KRXA has a Valentine for you. Joan Kenley is bringing you her new Saturday show on KRXA 540. It's called Talking Matters, and you don't want to miss it. You may already know Joan as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or you've seen her on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, Good Morning America, or heard her on The Simpsons.
Now, Jones brought her program to KRXA 540. Talking Matters starts Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. Her show will touch your mind, heart, body, and soul. Tune in to her Valentine's special February 11th at 3, full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. Joan will talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Learn more at TalkingMattersRadio.org. And keep talking with Joan, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
This is Matt Renner, sitting in with Yuri Beckelman on the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter's out sick, but I'm filling in for him today. I invited my friend Yuri to come in with me because I think he has a very important voice. We want to get our message out there, too, that young people can be active and knowledgeable about politics, and you don't have to be a complete nerd, although I do claim to be a pretty big nerd.
Yeah, you're pretty bad. You're pretty bad.
Oh, Yuri, speak for yourself.
We take pride in it, though.
I can't really be embarrassed about it because it's so important at this day and age, and it's such an amazing time to be involved in politics. I want to welcome Andrea Batista Schlesinger. Andrea studied public policy at the University of Chicago and worked in various capacities to promote educational equity and youth empowerment. I'm sorry, Andrea.
No.
She directed a national campaign to engage college students in the discussion of the future of Social Security for the Pew Charitable Trusts and served as director for public relations for Teach for America before working as an education advisor to the Bronx Borough President Fernando Ferrer. Wow, that was a mouthful.
Well, as long as you're not saying whether or not I'm a big nerd.
No, we won't judge you because I don't know you that well.
Okay.
But I actually have interesting connections here. I want to know if you know my sister, Mara Rose.
Huh, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, she worked in the education system in New York City also.
Huh.
Just throwing it out there. So,
okay.
Sorry. We brought you on today, Andrea, because your organization, the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy, is intriguing to me, and you guys are offering the Drum Major Institute 2006 State of the Union, which is an alternative to the present State of the Union, and that's kind of the message we're sending out today. Why don't you go ahead and explain what your organization does?
Sure. Well, the first thing I'll tell you what we don't do, which is give drum lessons, which is typically what people call us and ask us for. We were founded during the Civil Rights Movement, and the notion of being a drum major is a concept that Dr. King would talk about, this kind of instinct to lead, which could be used for good, be used for bad. And the Institute did a lot of work then to raise money and provide strategic support for the movement, and it was reborn a few years ago and as a progressive policy think tank, trying to take notice of what the conservative right has done so well in creating these institutions that funnel both ideas and messages to their candidates and to their organizations and to their press. And so what we try to do is weigh in on issues of social and economic justice by providing not only the ideas, but also the ways to talk about this. And that's really what it's not so much an alternative State of the Union, but it's our way of saying, what do these proposals really mean to the vast majority of Americans?
Well, I think that's an excellent point. Framing and the language used is as important, especially in a culture like we have today where, you know, the progressive side gets very limited media exposure. So when we do, we have to get our points in and make them effectively worded. I want you to help take us through the Drum Major Institute 2006 State of the Union. Where should we start?
Sure. Well, the first thing is the lens that we're using. And basically what we're doing is saying, what does the middle class and the aspiring middle class, how do they fare in the State of the Union and the proposals that are raised? And this comes out of a lot of work we've done over the last several years using the middle class lens, and really talking about the truth of the fact that our economy is so bifurcated. We're basically the very wealthy and then everybody else.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I used to go on shows like this, and people would give us a lot of flack. You know, why are you focused on the middle class? That's a relatively bourgeois endeavor. We should be talking about the poor. And as the middle class has gotten more and more squeezed, with 1 in 7 applying for bankruptcy and 1 in 4 of the newly uninsured being middle class, you know, we're really seeing that what unites the poor and the working class and the middle class is the shared sense of vulnerability.
Right.
And the shared feeling that, you know, what we kind of knew to be the American dream because our parents romanticized it, is no longer our reality. And so, you know, I think that the country, which is a good thing, and especially progressives, have gotten more comfortable talking about this change and speaking specifically to those who identify as middle class, which, by the way, is most everyone. No matter how much you make. And so what we have done over the last few years is to try to provide a look at the actual policy that either create the middle class or shrink it, that either make it possible to enter the middle class or make it harder. A lot of people are frustrated but don't necessarily make the connection between their own economic vulnerability and the policy, the legislation that creates that vulnerability.
Right. And I think that an important point here just to add is that it's always amazed me how people can continue to vote against their self-interest. And who I'm referring to is Republicans who are often not even in the middle class or in the middle class but at the lower end, who continue to elect leaders who do nothing for them. And I want to know how you seek to reveal that kind of hypocrisy or backwards voting. I don't know exactly how to frame it.
Yeah, well, I think the first step is to be very careful, because I think people, first of all, I don't think people like to be told that they're not voting in their self-interest or that they're not voting well.
Right.
And I do think on the left that this is something we've struggled with is, you know, how do you help people and speak truth to people without patronizing people?
Right. It's hard for me. Sorry.
You know, I mean, I don't say that just to you, but I think this is a general kind of conversation that we've had.
And, absolutely.
You know, I think part of it, and this is why we talk a lot about the American dream, and, you know, in the reports that we put out, it's all red, white, and blue, because, you know, the idea here is you speak to people's aspirations. You don't speak to their fears.
Right.
And in particular, you know, speaking of the State of the Union, last year the president talked so much about privatizing Social Security as, you know, the real theme of his address. And young people, since you started off, you know, this conversation talking about young people in politics, young people were really into privatization in the beginning. And they were very into the idea of being able to control their Social Security money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we took this position, actually taking on the Democrats, saying, listen, you know, we all agree that privatization is not only not necessary but wrong, but young people are telling us something when they say they want privatization. They're telling us they want to have more control over their financial futures. So how do we both convey that privatization is the wrong answer while also respecting what young people are telling us?
Right.
Which is that, you know, they want more control, but also they don't believe that government's necessarily going to be there for them. And that's why they don't have full faith in Social Security. So I think it's about listening to what people are telling you in terms of, you know, what they want for themselves and for their families, while also trying to express that the policies on the table either will or won't get them there. But I think the respect piece, without, you know, at the risk of sounding a little hokey, is really the first step to framing these issues well.
I do think it's a framing issue. I think one of the biggest things that's really framed this well for me recently was the discussion of the marketplace, of talking about what stores are becoming more and more popular. And you have the look is you're getting these really low price, you know, retailers such as Walmart and Target. Then you're getting the real high end shopping stores, and you're realizing that there isn't as much marketing towards the middle class. And when you show that to people, that's a really easy thing to realize, and you start noticing that the middle class really is disappearing in America. I think that's one of the things that have affected me recently.
Well, I think, you know, the Walmart conversation is an important one. So how do you convey to those who are in the middle class, even if it's a tenuous connection?
But that, I think also not just the Walmart conversation, but also our society's look at the extreme wealthy, that there isn't going to be a middle class anymore. There's just the poor and the wealthy, as you were saying earlier.
Right.
So, I mean, and our society looking to want the American dream being rich rather than middle class is a, you know, is this fear of, right. Of ours.
Well, I think that people, when they think about being middle class, they think about, and there's a direct relationship between all of these things and, you know, and the policies that are being discussed tonight, they look at, you know, making sure that they have health insurance, you know, making sure that they can retire with dignity, that they can send their kids to college,
become
that they can take care of their elderly parents.
Right.
You know, all of those values, even though I think everyone in this country thinks they can be rich, I think it is less income, especially since across the country income, you know, I'm here in New York where $100,000, you know, doesn't get you much. it's less about income and it's more about your quality of life.
Yeah.
And so how do we connect these policies to the quality of life that people are experiencing? And I think one of the, you know, the first ways to do that is to really talk about policy, but not in these kind of in-depth issue silos. So tomorrow you're probably going to hear from 300 healthcare organizations that only do healthcare, you know, to where they are, you know, the ultimate experts, and they're going to talk about why healthcare savings accounts, where health savings accounts are wrong or right, and they're going to do so within that silo of healthcare. But who's going to explain it, uniting the healthcare conversation with a tax conversation or with a retirement conversation? You know, how do we stop addressing these issues in these areas of expertise that we all have that really kind of perpetuate our self-importance, and instead figure out what is it that people need to know? And what is it that they want to know in order to be able to engage in this conversation?
That is very well said. I appreciate that a lot. I think that it's very important to really go ahead and see the bigger picture when we have these conversations and not get stuck in the kind of drabble that, you know, while important, I'm glad someone knows about it, the details often turn people off who need to know about this. So I think that the Drum Major Institute and for Public Policy, it sounds like you guys do a good job of actually advising politicians on how to convey this message without getting bogged down in the details. Is that true?
Well, I think whether or not we do a good job remains to be seen. That's one of the downsides of running a think tank, is it takes forever until you know the results of your work, because it takes a long time to frame these issues. I mean,
right.
You talk to the right, and you know what they did with Social Security. It took 30 years to even make it possible to put it on the table that you would, you know, create a market-based, you know, retirement security right. system.
It looks like they jumped the gun.
I mean, we try to offer a way to talk about these issues that will make sense to people.
Right. Well, we're going to pick it right there. Andrea, thanks for being here. We'll hold you through to the break. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host today, Matt Renner. I'm joined with Yuri Beckelman. We're going to finish talking to Andrea Batista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy after this.
Join R.J. Moyet for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyet brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyet. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. Amy Knight with Metro Traffic, take it away. I heard we got goats.
Yes, we do. Old Natividad Road at Natividad Road. The Sheriff's Department trying to catch two goats that are running around in the roadway. That's always something fun to watch. The police running around after goats in the lanes.
Keep them busy.
So, that gives you a whole new meaning to cops. Yeah. Did you just say you were kidding?
No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't kidding. Okay. Northbound 101 after Chula, that's Chula River Road. Get it, goats. There's a ladder in the roadway. Northbound 101, so just drive with caution if you're traveling North 101. Preparation H Cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. Human night with just a little humor today on traffic on KRXA 540.
I'm soothed by your humor, Amy. This is Matt Renner, coming right back at you. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking to Andrea Batista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. And Andrea, we were just talking briefly about the framing of issues around the, that affect middle class people to get them to really or to really express the underlying meaning behind a lot of these this technical jargon. Now I want to get back into the DMI 2006 Day of the Union. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you take it away. What's next on the agenda?
Well, what we do is basically look at a bunch of the things we anticipate the president's going to talk about tonight and kind of explain in plain English what that means and what the current and aspiring middle-class position is. He's going to be talking about a lot we understand about health care and this notion that health care should be more consumer-driven. And our message is that similar to the Social Security conversation of last year, it's really, you know, how does what he's really trying to do is to push as much kind of risk as possible onto the current and aspiring middle class while getting rid of what, you know, the principle of insurance is, which is you spread risk around and so that no one individual is left without the basics. And so this is kind of a Social Security privatization redux. And, you know, the idea of being able to control more health care is certainly going to be appealing to people, since many are dissatisfied with their insurance or are not connected to an employer who would provide them with insurance or who are looking for the tax break, because that's really what this would be for a lot of people, is a way to do your health insurance with pre-tax dollars. But our message is, you know, this is not the answer. There's a fundamental health care crisis in this country with 45 million people uninsured, creating accounts where people are then going to say, okay, do I need this x-ray? You know, do I really need to have, you know, this procedure?
Right.
Let me make some decisions when, for the most part, you know, no one has that information except for professionals available to them. It's not a way to keep costs down. It doesn't address why our health care system is so expensive. It's just a way to, you know, push risk onto average people and make a whole lot of other industries very even richer.
Right, and the other thing is that we saw with this Medicare poison pill that they really tried to cover the drug benefit but ended up making it incredibly complicated and not serving anyone, I mean, except for the insurance companies. I mean, how much legitimacy does their argument have for government, I mean, further, you know, what is it, deregulation is what they're going to call it, of the Medicare industry or of health care in general?
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument here, if you're cynical, and I certainly am, that, you know, you try to create these government programs that you know are doomed to fail so that people identify the government with a failing, with the failure to meet people's needs,
right,
and then want the government to have less money. You know, Paul Krugman calls it, and others, you know, starving the beast.
So they can drown in the bathtub, right?
Certainly it looks like that's what is happening with Medicare. Now, in terms of health care, you know, I mean, there are very real challenges, and this is, you know, for people who are aware of and experiencing the epidemic of bankruptcy amongst the middle class, the number, you know, one in two reasons for filing for bankruptcy are losing a job and a health care crisis. So people are really anxious for a solution, but telling people that they've got, you know, to pay a high premium for some account and then figure out which procedure they need and which one they don't. You know, this is not like figuring out which movies to put on your queue for Netflix. I mean, this is very complicated stuff. That kind of choice is not the choice that middle class and aspiring middle class families need to be making.
And I think that the thing that jumped out with Social Security and made it such a dead issue for so many people was the idea that any solution that the president was offering was not connected to actually solving the solvency problem, which was what he was saying the problem was. So his solution had nothing to do with the problem that he was presenting. And I think that this is exactly the same issue, that it's not solving the problem for those 45 million people. And then you have also the same thing with what's going on with the Medicare prescription drug thing, where it's overly complicated. And if you frame it as overly complicated, people want nothing to do with a basic human right of access to health care.
Right. And, you know, the question of whether or not that, you know, that right is articulated in this country has been raised. But I think, you know, most people in poll after poll want the government to be involved in providing health care.
I think it's a human right, but I think that it has been framed in this nation as a middle class right. And I think mm-hmm. that most people in this perceive them as middle class.
Yeah, there's no question that when you think about, again, going back to, you know, what's the lifestyle, what are the qualities that people identify with the American dream, certainly having access to health care, especially for your children, you know, is a key part of that equation. And health savings accounts they're an experiment.
I mean, the other thing is we have a solution that would be a huge, huge economic stimulus package for the middle class, and that would be letting small businesses and even large businesses off the hook by creating a national health care system and a single-payer health care system that could be, you know, that's one of the biggest problems or one of the biggest expenses that businesses are facing now and one of the reasons why they were moving jobs out of this country. So I think that there has to be an alternative that is placed also at the forefront of this argument.
Absolutely. And, you know, there have been, I mean, there are certainly other countries that have lessons to share with us, and there's even our own country, you know, and the experience of veterans who are able to access health care. And it's a system that certainly runs far more efficiently than ours. But, you know, it will be interesting to see how this plays out. I think people will be a little less willing to kind of go with this market-based solution after the Social Security privatization effort blew up in the president's face. But, you know, I do think the opportunity here is to explain, you know, what's the difference between insurance and then people being able to invest and make choices, where is it appropriate, where isn't it appropriate. And our take is that health savings accounts only position risk onto the middle class while making industries that don't need additional profits, even wealthier.
Right.
Other issues that we anticipate the president will talk about, he's going to talk about immigration, he's going to talk about education. On the education piece, we've heard he's going to talk about strengthening math and science education. We absolutely agree. That's why full funding of No Child Left Behind is important. He may talk about, we've heard, expanding the use of community colleges. We think that's great, but then you've got to explain why, you know, last year alone, 1.3 million students saw their Pell Grant aid reduced. 90,000 students who were previously eligible got the boot from eligibility from Pell.
Right.
You know, the public state university tuitions are skyrocketing. They've gone up almost 40% in the last 3 years alone.
In California, the community college issue is a really scary part for us, because Schwarzenegger actually proposed community colleges offering 4-year degrees, which is an interesting idea that I don't personally support. I definitely support community colleges as either training to go into the workforce or as a stepping stone to going onto a 4-year university. And I hope that that's not what the president's referring to.
Well, I don't know if that's what he's referring to. If he is talking about investing more, then there has to be a recognition. In the same way that you have to talk about what do health savings accounts really mean, what does Social Security privatization really mean, well, why is it that public state college tuition is skyrocketing? And then you have to look at the equation that begins with tax cuts that have drained state coffers, forcing them to turn to the only real revenue generator that they have control over. and that's their public university systems.
Definitely.
So you can't talk about making those tax cuts permanent in the same speech as you talk about making college, public college, community colleges more accessible.
Now, I want to interrupt here for a second because this is something that I cannot understand, but it's so present in the way the right crafts their message, and I think that's something that you guys deal with, is that they frame something like tax cuts as helpful to the middle class. I mean, they actually say this is going to improve your life as a middle class American, and yet it's so short-sighted of middle class Americans to actually see a $200 cut in taxes as helpful to them when, you know, people in the top 1% are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars less in taxes.
Right. And actually the polling that I have seen has shifted, and for the most part, you know, middle class and aspiring middle class families are much more interested in full funding for public education and in stronger and safer communities than they are in tax cuts. And even after the huge tax cut was passed, there were, in poll after poll, the conclusion people were identifying and saying, you know, that this tax cut really made very little difference in, you know, in their own lives and in their sense of, you know, financial stability. And of course, the idea that it would be used as a generator of the economy is ridiculous, considering that most of the wealthiest who received the largest amount of you know, of tax relief, as they say, just put it in investments.
And they're the only ones with any savings anyway. So I think it's a good point because, I mean, you know, they're not really starting businesses and creating jobs. If you saw some kind of job boom because of these tax cuts, I could be swayed. But trickle-down economics has been disproved a long time ago, and it's amazing that it's back in force.
Right. I mean, the president's job creation numbers are still way below expectations. And it's not even just, you know, are the straight up number of jobs the same. It's what kind of jobs have replaced the ones that left. And for the most part, the jobs that are replacing the ones that have left pay less and have less retirement security.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Andrea. And I want to send people to your website. It is drummajorinstitute.org.
Yes.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger, thanks so much.
No, thank you.
This is Matt Renner on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm joined with Yuri Beckelman. That was a great conversation. I think that I'm going to check that institute out. Yuri, I appreciate you coming in and helping me out today.
Definitely. It's my pleasure.
And we'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005.
Need progressive talk for the Monterey Bay area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulligano. In Washington this evening, President George W. Bush will deliver his fifth State of the Union address. But unlike addresses of the past, this one will carry no grand initiatives, no blockbuster proposals. Instead, look for a theme of leadership filled with bread and butter issues. To the White House now, and CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Lou, by design.
But KCBS reporter Doug Sovereigns found that might well be a narrow focus.
Stanford University health economist Victor Fuchs says health savings accounts only make sense if you're young, rich, and healthy, and they won't expand access to health care for millions of uninsured Americans.
It's just a little Band-Aid is all it really is.
But Scott Halstead, CEO of WageWorks, a California company that administers the accounts, says they do allow some employers to offer insurance for the first time, even though those policies come with very high deductibles.
I don't believe it's just a Band-Aid. I think it's more than that.
Doug Sovereign, CBS News, San Francisco.
Among the invited guests this evening on Capitol Hill will be the U.S. Supreme Court's newest justice, Sam Alito. Sworn in, says CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv, as the announcement of his confirmation still echoed in the Senate chamber.
Alito swore to what are called the constitutional and judicial oaths in a private ceremony. The other members of the court were watching as the Chief Justice John Roberts administered the oaths. A press release from the Supreme Court explains why this was done so quickly, quote, so that Justice Alito could begin to participate in the work of the court immediately. No word as to how the retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said goodbye. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
As Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan was presiding over his final policymaking meeting at the Federal Reserve, the Senate was approving his successor. On a voice vote, senators approved Ben Bernanke as next chairman. Greenspan's retirement comes after 18 and a half years at the helm of the Fed. At the Fed's meeting, the Board of Governors voted to increase short-term rates another quarter point and left the door open for one more increase March 28th. It didn't help the market. The Dow closed down 35. The Nasdaq was off nearly a point. This is CBS News.
Hey, this is Tanya Roberts, and guess what? The new year is here, and it's time for you and that special person to start making those pesky resolutions. What are you going to be doing? Lose weight, stop smoking, clean out your closet. Well, I have a resolution idea that I know you can keep. Spend 3 days and two nights at a Las Vegas Strip resort and don't pay a dime for it. It's all part of the grand opening of Las Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. Start off the new year right. Recharge those romantic batteries with a fantastic second honeymoon package. Call now and we'll also throw in tickets to a hot show right on the Strip. To receive the high roller treatment and your complimentary second honeymoon, call 877-33-GO-WIN. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. For the time of your life, 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
It's always nice to have a story with a happy ending. CBS News reporter Larry Miller gives us just that from London.
3 weeks after making a wrong turn and trapping itself in an English marina, Mara the dolphin is free again. Rescuers had tried nearly everything to entice the 2-foot-long bottlenose dolphin out of the marina, but it wouldn't go. Finally, with its health failing, rescuers drained the harbor to a few feet.
No, it's over there. It's over there.
Divers lifted the dolphin onto a net and then to a boat, and then dropped it in deep water. A mate had been patiently waiting all this time for Mara. The two were last seen swimming in the freedom of the open seas. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Quick, move to Florida. Well, actually, the state wouldn't be able to afford it. It is a $100 check for each and every property owner in the state and a lowering of the property tax rates. It's a proposal made today by Governor Jeb Bush in his next to last year in office. He says it'll cost $1.5 billion, but help homeowners and businesses out. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Beverly.
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I locked my keys out of my car. My car's running.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's get the doors open. What's the 4-digit PIN number on the account?
882.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
You are the best. This is the first time I'm trying this. I gotta see how this works.
You said the vehicle's running right now, right?
It's running, and I put my key in, and it closed the door.
Okay, let me go ahead and send the signal through.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
There we go, baby. You're the best. I love you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Do I get charged for that?
No, not at all. It's part of your service.
Have a good day.
Please know we are here whenever you need us.
All right. Thank you.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
This is Matt Renner. I'm joined by my friend Yuri Beckelman, hosting the Peter B. Collins Show today. And our next guest is going to talk about a Mr. Roy Blunt that, you know, really makes Mr. look bad. Let's listen to Ben Harper say it.
Excuse me, mister, do you have the time? Or are you so important that it stands still? not here.
All right, well, he goes on to talk a lot about how some misters these days are not really holding up their side of the bargain, especially the ones in government. Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington joins us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Matt.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Good. I'm doing all right. I'm recovering well from this Alito failure.
Because, it's sad.
Yeah, it's sad, but, you know, we showed that there are some senators that can be flipped by old-school politics.
Yes, unfortunately, a few too many, I think.
Yeah. Oh, those other ones, yeah. Well, I'm talking about the ones that swung with the efforts of people like Peter B. Collins and the bloggers, but yeah.
It's interesting to see. This is one of the most divided confirmation votes in the history of the Supreme Court, so.
It's pretty cool. Well.
It is. It's just a shame from my perspective that more senators, Democratic senators, didn't stand up.
And we're with you. We completely agree with you. Completely agree with you.
Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to put a positive spin on this, all right?
Did everyone see Teddy Kennedy's speaking on the floor of the House? I thought it was really good. It was very, you know, heartfelt and emotional. It really came from the soul, and it was really interesting to hear him say.
I agree with you. I was a little bit worried for his health.
But the red face.
Sorry. All right, Melanie, so let's talk about Roy Blunt.
Okay. Roy Blunt is running for majority leader.
Right.
He came in replacing Tom DeLay. He was majority whip, but now he's been acting majority leader. And, you know, the only person who is probably more corrupt than Roy Blunt was Tom DeLay. So when the House is talking about their new, especially the House GOP leadership is talking about how they're now the party of reform, which is kind of funny because they've been in charge for 10 years and they've made it get this bad. When they're talking about being the party of reform and then they're talking about putting Roy Blunt in as majority leader, one might guess that they're actually not telling the truth.
Really? No. These Republicans? Not telling you.
There's enough taint to be spread around everyone.
Exactly.
There is a lot of taint, but you know what? An awful lot of it falls on Roy Blunt. And the best example is something, and I have to just start by telling you that this conduct was too much for Tom DeLay. So you really know that it went too far.
Wow.
But Roy Blunt, when the Homeland Security legislation was first up in 2002 when they were creating the Department of Homeland Security, Roy Blunt stuck in a provision into the bill that helped Philip Morris at the expense of other competitors. And Philip Morris is Roy Blunt's largest contributor. And not only are they his largest contributor, and just hours before he pushed this provision into the bill, by the way, he'd been on the phone with the vice president at Philip Morris, but he was also then dating and has since married their top lobbyist, Abigail Perlman.
Wow.
And as if that weren't enough, he also has a son, Andrew Blunt, who lobbies on behalf of Philip Morris as well.
Well, that makes sense, though, because they're named after a cigar, right?
I guess so.
Roy Blunt.
So there you have it. So Philip Morris was on its way to getting his provision, and then Tom DeLay actually pulled it out.
Wow.
And Roy Blunt did something similar in the next year for UPS. He pushed a piece of legislation that benefited UPS and FedEx at the expense of another shipper, DHL, and his son, Andrew Blunt, was lobbying on behalf of UPS at the time. And UPS and FedEx, again, gave him a lot of money in return for his campaign contributions.
I remember hearing a story, and I don't know if it was Roy Blunt, but there was someone in the Congress who was walking around the congressional floor handing out campaign donations from lobbyists.
Well, no, you have him confused. Yes, that's the other person who's up for majority leader.
John
Boehner from Ohio, who's up for majority leader. And in 1995, I believe it was, he had checks from Philip Morris, and he was handing them out on the floor of the House.
Wow. Wow, lots of tanks.
And he's, by the way, the reform candidate.
Yes.
This party really does have quite an air of taint about it.
It really does. It's and they're not alone. Today, in the last couple of days, we've been reading about a member closer to your neck of the woods, a guy named John Doolittle.
Uh-huh.
And he's a California member of Congress. And it turns out he was he wrote a couple of letters to the Department of Interior Secretary Gail Norton on behalf of clients of Jack Abramoff. He also used Jack Abramoff's skybox at a sports arena here in Washington, D.C., and failed to report it to the FEC. And then Jack Abramoff also paid John Doolittle's wife, Julie Doolittle, a lot of money to arrange a fundraiser for him. John Doolittle is refusing to answer any questions about any of this.
Wow.
Wow. I think his excuse should be that, you know, look at guys, my name is Doolittle. I'm not involved in much. Sorry, that's a horrible joke. I apologize to all our listening audience. And I want to move on to the Katrina cover-up because this is near and dear to my heart. What you guys are suing over Freedom of Information Act requests, right?
That's right. We just filed suit against the Department of Homeland Security because we had, back in the fall, sent a Freedom of Information Act request to Homeland Security asking for a bunch of information regarding what the department knew ahead of time before Katrina, what kind of studies they had about hurricanes in the Gulf Coast, you know, what might happen to the levees, what kind of studies they had, what kind of preparedness assessments they had done, things like that. And we also asked for what they then knew about the hurricane coming, what they knew in advance of Hurricane Katrina actually hitting, and then what they did in response to Katrina and how they responded to that. And they refused to respond to our Freedom of Information Act request. And in fact, there's a provision under which we can ask for the information on an expedited basis. And they said, no, we're not going to give you it on an expedited basis because this isn't really a subject the American people are interested in.
So what were the reasons they cited? I know Freedom of Information, sometimes they say that it's an unreasonable amount of information that you're requesting. But, I mean, what did they tell you when they told you
no? Yeah, they just ignored us.
Wow.
Did they say that you had to be more specific about what you wanted?
You know, that was the State Department, Matt.
Oh, okay.
We sued the State Department also over their failure to respond to our information about Katrina-related requests. The State Department, as you may remember, got there were many foreign governments that offered aid right after Katrina, and yet we seem to have ignored all of those offers.
Wow.
And we, crew, actually had a list of a bunch of the countries that had made offers, and we wanted to know what had happened to those offers. So we filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the State Department saying, okay, what happened? And we named all the countries, Bangladesh, you know, Germany, all these countries. And then State wrote back and saying, we're denying your request because you haven't been specific enough. We don't know what you want.
Well, Melanie, it sounds to me like this government is trying a new tactic that they're really not used to, which is covering up incompetence.
That's exactly right. But luckily, you know, there still are federal courts, and they're not all populated with George Bush appointees, and some of them really believe in the Freedom of Information Act.
We're hoping
that some of these judges will hold the administration's feet to the fire and force them to respond to these requests as the law requires.
Well, we are too, and that's, I don't want to make light of your job because you do an amazing job, and it's so vital to keeping these people honest, and I want to thank you for that, and thanks for joining us this week.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
Melanie, talk to you soon. That's Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Check them out on the web. We'll be right back. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host, Matt Renner, sitting in with Yuri Beckelman. We'll be taking your calls in the 5:30 segment of our show. You can call in at 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Go ahead and grab a line. We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Tom Hartman.
The stuff had happened under the Clinton administration. They would have him out on the White House lawn, drawn, quartered, and being eaten alive by red ants right now.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
What you have is a White House press corps that is absolutely cowed. We have now gone from news to infotainment, and because it's now an entertainment industry, if covering a missing white girl in Aruba is going to make more profit than talking about body armor, then they're all for it.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
Amy Knight with Metro Traffic, or as we like to call it, Livestock Update. Amy, what's going on?
Yes, the goats have been taken into custody. There were two of them that were running around in the roadway, Old Natividad Road, at Natividad Road, by the Monterey Sheriff's Department, has caught them and taken them to their owner, so everything's code four.
What's new in traffic?
Southbound Soquel Drive at 41st Avenue, a two-car crash blocking the southbound lanes of Soquel Drive. It's going to be heavy as you travel through the area there. And a new problem in Gilroy Highway 25, just south of 101. You'll find an accident on the shoulder. Three cars involved there, so expect delays on 25 as you exit just off of Highway 101. This report brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks so much, Amy.
You're welcome.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host today, Matt Renner. Peter's out under the weather. We hope he gets better soon. But he gave me the opportunity to host this show today, and it's my pleasure. I love talking to informed and excited listeners. I know today was a rough day, but pull yourself up. We got some good news for you. Can you believe it? We got some good news, Yuri.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. Let's get Trent Lang on here. Trent Lang from CaliforniaClean.org. What's going on, Trent?
Lots of good things here in California. We are very excited that the California Assembly just passed AB 583, the California Clean Money and Fair Elections Act, as this is a historic first for full public financing of campaigns in California to move on the road to getting private money out of politics.
I'm so excited, Trent. That's the best news I've heard all day.
We were pretty excited, too, and this has been a quite a transformation, bootstrapped by all the problems with Abramoff and Duke Cunningham have really shown the problem of money in politics. A couple months ago, nobody thought that public finance campaigns, clean money, would go anywhere in California. But there's really been a transformation. There's been an uprising of the public in crying out for this change. And now, not only did it pass the Assembly, but 47 out of 48 Democrats, all but one, voted yes on the bill.
Nice. That's great news. It sounds like we have some kind of party unity.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
What's going on? Well, Trent, I want to say that's amazing. That's a great first step. Now, where does this go next?
Next, it goes to the state Senate, where it'll be there for a couple of months. This is a bill to provide full public financing campaigns for the legislature, statewide offices, including the governor's race. Have to go through the Senate, and then differences in the bill would be ironed out in a conference committee. The governor would have to then sign the bill, which would be interesting for him to be faced with a public financing bill to sign, especially since he actually made that such a money and politics such a big issue in his recall election.
Right.
And then it would go on the ballot for the voters if all goes well.
Well, let's talk about that briefly because that's an important part. The governor signing it. What are the prospects? Because
what I understand is that he has committed to reform in a very similar fashion, yet he's so bought in so many ways by big money. I mean, he's even worse than Gray Davis. So what are we to see? I mean, what do you expect, Trent?
Well, we honestly don't know. We know that when he was running for office against Governor Davis, he really recognized the problem. He got elected on the problem. He used one of our favorite quotes. The money comes in, the favors go out, the people lose. And that quote, the people lose because of money and politics, really sums it up. So he got it, or he used it. But since then, he's put Governor Davis's fundraising to shame. So it's hard to say where he will come down. Hopefully he'll recognize the problem and want to get out of it like the Democrats in the Assembly want to get out of it.
And it's a scary thing because recently after he made that great statement, he's more recently said that he's actually sorry for saying that about Gray Davis, for saying that he shouldn't have fundraised, because he says fundraising is just a part of politics now, and he's come out and said that. And that's a really disheartening thing to hear. But, you know, I think we're all pulling for you. We're hoping that, you know, his attempt to try to regain the governorship and his swing to the left will hopefully help him, you know, see the light that he needs to sign this bill. And not that this is a left issue. This is a people's issue.
Oh, absolutely. This is an issue that has gotten bipartisan support in other states, in Arizona and Maine, where they've been using it very successfully for 6 years now. The state of Connecticut, which used to be known as the state of Corrupticut, they just passed a clean money bill, and very interestingly there was a Democratic legislature that passed a bill signed by a moderate Republican, Governor Rell there in Connecticut, and after signing that public financing bill, she is now the governor that has the highest approval rating of any governor in the country.
Wow.
So it's a sign that the public is really ready to change the way we finance elections.
That's great, Trent. And I want to say that I think that a tool that's going to be very important, in my opinion, in getting the governor to sign it especially, but also in educating the population if it does go, or when it does go onto the ballot, because it does need a – how many people need to approve this?
It will be a 50% vote of the voters once it's on the ballot.
Okay, great. And to accomplish that, I think that one of the most important things is to actually use the grassroots, like you guys are doing at CA Clean,
yes.
But also to just make that effort so large that actually people can talk to their neighbor or talk to, you know, people in their neighborhood about exactly what clean money is and why it's so important, because the spin that's put on this is money for politicians, and no one is really in favor of giving their money to politicians unless they understand that it's actually going to completely clean up politics.
Absolutely, and this really has been a grassroots uprising. We have tremendous activists and volunteers across the state, Democratic clubs across the state, the Democracy for America clubs, all these grassroots clubs are coming up. People come to our website, which is www.caclean.org. Find out about it. We have action tools for people to write to their assembly members, write to their senators. The people really swamped the members of the assembly, and that's what really brought to their attention that they needed to do something about it.
Trent, I want to squeeze in a call here. Hold on one second.
Yes,
Chris from Salinas, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to find out who we should actually start contacting, our state senators, or any particular state senators, or any committee members that we need to contact.
Trent,
yes,
did you hear?
Excellent question. Well, there's, I guess you have two state senators in your area that definitely we should start contacting. I guess that's Jack Scott and Abel Maldonado. Is that correct?
Yes, that's definitely right. That's definitely right.
So they need to be contacted, and the Senate President Pro Tem Don Parada, he needs phone calls and letters.
I think Abel Maldonado is a great example. He has the governor's ear, so the more we get to him from Monterey and from our area, the more likely the governor's going to hear this message as well.
Absolutely.
Looks like we lost Chris there. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, and so many of these Democrats voted for the bill after they just heard a groundswell, just people calling in and writing handwritten letters. That's what made the difference in getting people on board.
Well, personally, Trent, and I have a feeling you share my sentiment here, that I think that this is the issue and the resolution to the issue that could actually save this country's democracy.
That's exactly what we feel. You have to get money out of politics. You have to level the playing field. You have to give new people with good ideas a chance to run for office and win and compete, which is what this does. And if this happens in California, which now we think there's a good chance that it will happen, it's definitely going to be a big fight. We're going to need everybody to leap on board. But if it happens, then this can sweep the country, as so many things that start in California do.
Trent, I had a question for you. I need a little bit of help visualizing this, really. I want to know, how much money will candidates who are applying for statewide assembly seats, if I wanted to run for assembly, how much money would I get? That's one when I'm trying to help explain this. But also, you know, that number, people don't realize that it's not a big chunk when you really put it in perspective of our California politics. So how much does the analyst's office say it's going to cost total? And how much would I get if I was running for an assembly seat?
Can you do it in 1 minute, Trent?
Yeah. If you're running for an assembly seat, you'll get $150,000 in a general election. If you qualify and show a broad base of support, you get extra matching funds if you are outspent by another candidate. So that's a real key, that if you're attacked by outside groups or another candidate, you get to respond. The cost of the system is only $3.65 per year for a resident over 18. So it's very, very minimal, a reasonable amount to fix the way elections are financed in this country and in our state.
Trent, that was great. You did it in under a minute. I want to thank you for your hard work, and I want to plug your website again so people can get on board with you. It's caclean.org, caclean.org. Go check it out. It's something that I check. When there's good news up there, it makes my day. This is great news, Trent, and I'm so glad you could bring us some good news on a day like today.
Yes, thanks very much for having me on.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Trent. That's Trent Lang on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your host, Matt Renner. This is my co-host today, Yuri Beckelman. We're going to a break, and in the next segment, we'll be taking your calls. So please call in any issue, any concern, any opinion. We want to hear it. Our number here is 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening today. It's my pleasure to be filling in. I'm Matt Renner. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's tax time again, and there's one Progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. And now my show, Talking Matters, starts right here, Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. We're here to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Tune in to my Valentine special, February 11th at 3. It's full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. We'll talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking. Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school. when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
Have the feeling that you want to call into this radio show. So I'm going to give out the number again. It's 831-899-5792. From the Monterey area, from the North State, it's 1-888-579-2540. We'll be taking your calls as soon as they come in. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm filling in today. My name is Matt Renner. I'm here with my co-host, Yuri Beckelman.
How's it going?
And while we wait for your calls to come in at 831-899-5792, I want to share a story with you, Yuri.
Yes, I'm ready.
This is a story that caught my attention today from the Washington Post. And by caught my attention, I mean Peter emailed it to me because I don't look at the Washington Post enough.
Yeah, you know, Washington Post.
It's hard to get on that website.
It's not very interesting. Actually, the website is really bad. It has a lot of pop-up ads, which is really interesting.
And the Washington Post tends to be full of it.
Yeah, that's another issue.
It's like if I want softball news, I'll turn on the TV and flip through the channels momentarily and hear some stupid soundbite repeated by some pundit who isn't on my side, so therefore I disagree with them and don't like them.
It's really interesting for me. I'll read the Washington Post, and then I'll read Al Jazeera just to get the complete opposite sides.
Nice.
And it's a really interesting way to get your news.
Yeah, well, there you go. So Yuri is well-versed in Al Jazeera. If you don't talk to him about any issues with that. But I want to read this real quick. This story is called Gonzalez is Challenged on Wiretaps. And it's from somebody. It's by Carol D. Leoning. And it's from... It's a challenge by Russ Feingold, and he said yesterday that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez misled the Senate during his confirmation hearing a year ago when he appeared to try to avoid answering a question about whether the president could authorize warrantless wiretapping of U.S. citizens. And remember, this is, what, a year ago? So the story hadn't broken yet, and Feingold claims to not have inside knowledge about the story before it broke. So let me read this paragraph to you. In a letter to the Attorney General yesterday, Feingold demanded to know why Gonzalez dismissed the senator's question about warrantless eavesdropping as a hypothetical situation during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in January 2005. At the hearing, Feingold asked Gonzalez whether the president's authority extends and whether Gonzalez believes the president could, for example, act in contravention of existing criminal laws and spy on U.S. citizens without a warrant. Gonzalez's response was that it was impossible to answer such a hypothetical question, but that it was not the policy or the agenda of this president to authorize actions that conflicted with existing law. He added that he would hope to alert Congress if the president ever did choose to authorize warrantless surveillance, according to a transcript of the hearing. So I think this is very important that he chose his words, and he said he would hope to alert Congress if the president did choose to authorize this. Although the president had already alerted, apparently. Well, actually, the timeline's kind of messed up there.
I think Alberto Gonzalez had known at that time. He was one of the first people to know about the...
Yeah, it goes on to say that Alberto Gonzalez, let's see here. In fact, the president did secretly authorize the National Security Agency to begin warrantless monitoring of calls and emails between the United States and other nations soon after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. The program, publicly revealed in media reports last month, was unknown to Feingold and his staff at the time. Feingold questions Gonzalez, according to a staff member. Oh, sorry. Feingold aides developed the 2005 questions based on privacy advocates' concerns about the broad interpretations of executive power. But Gonzalez was the White House counsel and has since acknowledged his role in affirming the president's authority to launch the surveillance effort. Weird. He said that the president was authorized to do it under the law, but wouldn't answer questions about it. Sounds like a cover-up to me.
It's interesting. You know, I just don't have any faith in Alberto Gonzalez at all. And the way that he frames himself in that article is that he would stand up if something was going wrong, because that's his job as Attorney General. But he obviously didn't do it in this case.
Right. And he was, in fact, the architect of one of the major issues, which was creating some kind of legal justification for warrantless wiretapping. Now, we have a phone call coming in. If you want to call in, be my guest. We'd love to hear from you. Any opinion, any subject. Our number here is 831-899-5792, or you can call toll-free at 888-579-2540. Peter B., welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Matt, great show.
Hey, how's it going? I was afraid it was my boss for a second.
Oh,
just kidding.
Not even close.
How's it going, Peter?
Good, man. My subject is doormat Democrats.
Easy.
That's right, as exemplified by Joe Lieberman.
Oh.
I mean, this is, again, I hate to be the big downer for the afternoon, but the Democrats not only show any lack of leadership or cohesion, but show, I don't know, anything that you could really get behind. I guess that's my biggest disappointment, was all they had to do was stand up. It's not like they had to reach into their wallet and pull out a 10.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I see Teddy Kennedy as you know, as this amazing leader, but I saw something real from him on the Senate floor when it came to this judicial nomination. It was really interesting to watch for me. But yeah, Lieberman, it's really disheartening. And the way that our electoral system is set up is that we're not going to challenge a Democrat in, you know, that holds office, because we don't want to lose that seat. The same thing is here in California or anywhere. No one wants to challenge that nomination. That makes it so these middle of the road Democrats, Republicrats, you know, are able to stay, even though they don't really represent the fundamentals of the Democratic Party or of the progressive people.
Lieberman's a special case, too, yeah, because he's just so over the edge. I mean,
exactly.
There were rumors of him being the head defense secretary.
Yeah, I remember that.
Instead of Rumsfeld. I mean, clearly it didn't happen, but wow, that would be
Matt,
a shake-up.
You know, when you ask how do people vote against their self-interest, equally as large of a question is exactly what do the Democrats offer? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, the Republicans are corrupt and they fall short on all the ethics fronts, et cetera, et cetera. But then you turn the page to the Democrats and it's always the same spokespeople. I don't mind Ted Kennedy, but that's it.
Right. And there's the other thing, and it's pretty clear that, you know, the Democrats are a party that is afraid to stand up, or a lot of them are. But there are some that do. And I think that's what we need to foster, and we need to challenge people like Lieberman. I mean, right now there's Ned Lamont, who's going to be, it sounds like he's floating the idea of running against Lieberman and challenging him. But the real issue is that we need to really show Democrats that go against the self-interest of their constituents that there's going to be consequences.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that's one thing that people like in the Netroots, the people, the bloggers, and the people on Liberal Talk Radio can do, is organize people to actually, you know, do things like call their office nonstop for 4 days or whatever it was that got some of those senators to flip on this filibuster. And it's the only way we're going to do it. And it has to be positive pressure, though, because we really are a minority party that's going to tear itself apart if we demand that everyone is lockstep with the far left. I mean, personally, I think that, you know, I wish that's how it could be, but unfortunately, we do need people who are in the middle of the country and are, you know, somewhat moderate Republicans.
You know,
Matt, moderate Democrats.
One of the biggest things you have to concede to the Republicans is their ability to forge consensus. I mean, it
right.
is really amazing, and not only the consensus part is their ability to raise funds.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right, and I'm just astounded at their ability to do that. And again, you equally point out as well as the Democrats' inability. They fracture so easily. If you don't support my Save the Whales, then forget about your women's rights issues and those sorts of things.
Right. And I mean, it's one of those issues that you can't really be, I mean, I don't know if this is the right expression, but beggars can't really be choosers in a lot of ways. I mean, I agree that we should stand for something, and a national, like, actual platform for the Democrats would be incredibly useful if it could tie together the different disparate parts of the Democratic Party. Disparate. You know what I mean? If we actually had a kind of like a platform.
An idea, a map.
Right.
It would be so great to have a map for what we need to stand behind as a progressive movement that people would be forced to take, you know, to really realize that this was what you would have if we had Democrats in office, because people don't know that. What would be different with the Democrats in office? And you and I might have, you know, great goals and aspirations for what they could do differently, more ethics, they believe in healthcare, but what are they really going to do? And they really need to set up that message.
Well, Peter, I want to thank you for your calls. I'm sorry, go ahead. Were you going to say something else?
You know, Matt, I'm going to give you great credit for standing in there at a time when this country really, really needs young voices like yourself. And keep up the mix on your program. Those things are great.
The mix of
when you do the music and the sound bites together.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's way cool.
Well, Peter, I appreciate your call today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, see ya.
All right, that's Peter B, not the Peter B from the show. He's a frequent caller from the Monterey area. Sounds a little different, but he's a pretty damn bright guy. Appreciate it a lot, Peter. Your calls have always helped improve the quality of this show. If you want to call in and be heard, the number here is 831-899-5792. Our toll-free number is 888-579-2540. We're going to take a break, do some traffic, and come right back to the calls that are lighting up right now. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your fill-in host for the day, Matt Renner. I'm joined here by Yuri Beckelman, and we're having a great time. Aren't we, Yuri?
Yes, we are very
Put
much
Put on your
so.
NPR voice. This is really fun.
Very much so.
We'll be right back. Ow!
Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop. where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
KRXA brings you traffic. This is our last traffic update. Amy, I'm going to miss you.
Oh, thank you. I'll miss you too. But I'll still be here once. Oh, I'm going to... Yeah, that's right. I will talk to you tomorrow.
I know.
I will miss you.
Oh, well.
Maybe
go
next
ahead.
Time. Actually, we have a new injury accident, 68 at Pasadena Drive, a minor injury accident, two vehicles involved. And you'll find Highway Patrol emergency crews on the way, but lanes are blocked 68 at Pasadena Drive. Also, southbound Soquel Drive at 41st, you'll find a two-car crash still clearing with CHP out there on scene. And better news for Gilroy, 25 at 101, a three-car crash has been completely cleared, but traffic is still a little slow exiting off of South 101 onto Highway 25. TomTom is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, just visit TomTom.com. Have a safe drive home. Amy Knightwood Traffic on KRXA 540.
Bye, Amy.
Bye-bye.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm not exactly sure. I thought that was Beat It with Michael Jackson, but... I liked it anyway.
it was a good intro.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Pretty intense.
Sounds pretty dramatic because we're in the free speech zone. So let's get it started. The phone's lit up. I felt like I said something offensive. Let's see if I did. Jake from Arcata, you're first. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's up, Matt? Hey, I'm just calling to talk about the State of the Union speech coming up here.
Yes.
From what I can tell, all Bush is going to say basically is, let's bomb Iran and cut taxes for the rich. And, oh, by the way, I'm not really in the oil company's back pocket. I mean, none of this is believable. Bush is a liar.
I believe he's going to bomb Iran.
Well, yeah, that is believable. I'm sorry.
I did not mean to laugh at that. That's actually awful.
I know. You're either going to laugh or cry, I guess.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Anyways, I just had it with, now they're saying the weapons of mass destruction are in Syria. They're throwing that one out again.
Nice.
I was saying Iran's got a nuke and they're going to come and get us. Haven't we heard this before, these weapons of mass destruction lies? I would hope that people would catch on at some point that the Republican Party is lying to you and it's time to toss them out.
Hear, hear.
You would hope, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would hope, exactly.
I'm interested to hear the addiction to oil come out of his mouth, though. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I just want to see it. It sounds like a train wreck ready to happen.
I can see a drunken slur coming out of Bush's mouth on that one. I don't think he can get it out.
I definitely foresee a Bushism. I would put money on that. Yeah. I see a Bushism coming out of that.
No, he's been practicing for like 2 weeks. He swear he does anything else in government. Jake, I want to thank you for your call today. Let's move to Ed from Aptos. Ed from Aptos, you're next.
Yeah, I'm over in Fresno listening to you on off the internet.
Sweet. What's up, Ed?
Two things. When is that clean money, is that going to be in the June election, or is it going to be in November, do you know?
I'm not positive on that. I'll have to get back to you on that. What's your next question?
I was wondering what Yuri's doing. He said he's a super senior.
Yes, my fifth year, but I'm graduating this semester.
You're cramming 4 into 5 years, huh?
Exactly.
And in the next semester, Yuri, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm going to intern for Senator Feingold in D.C., so I'm really excited about that. I really respect the man, respect his politics. Hopefully I'll be doing some good stuff out there.
Second question, is there a Democratic club on the... campus there at USMB?
At CSUMB, yes. It's a brand new club. Very active, very good. They're really trying to become involved, get their self together. We've got to start working more on recruiting on campus and really getting... It's, it was crazy because the election came last year and there was this huge Republican club on campus. Huge. And they were actually getting financed by the Republican Central Committee of Monterey. And, there was a progressive movement on campus that just dominated it, but not a club. But now there's a club, so it's good stuff.
Cool. Thanks, Ed, for your call, Jay. Ed, thank you very much. We're going to Jay from Monterey. Jay, you're next.
Hi. I'm all in support of doing what we can practically and supporting with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons the Republicans have had so much success is that they've had so much vision. It's vision for horrible stuff that
right.
I totally disagree with. But they really had a lot of vision. And there are some basic fundamental assumptions of the society that are really not addressed. I'll give you two ideas that may sound... What if there were a maximum wage law? We have minimum wage laws. But you look at how much chief executives of corporations are making. What if there were a maximum wage law?
Well, I think
they proposed that a long time ago. That was actually proposed. It was that $8 million wage cap, which would translate now to almost $100 million.
And don't get me wrong, I think it's a great idea, but I think the best way to propose that without people screaming socialism, even though I think that if we frame it correctly, you know, it could be really powerful in terms of, you know, people in the middle class would hear that and be like, I don't make nearly that much and never do I plan to. But I think the best solution for that is going to be a progressive tax structure where people who make that kind of money are getting taxed at 99% over, what, $80 million, whatever that is.
I disagree with you on that. But anyway, just leave that one there. The other thing is, you know, housing is a really big issue around here. And everybody's talking about affordable housing and building more. And, you know, there's a lot of local stuff coming up on the ballot and LandWatch is getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
But in my view, one of the biggest problems with housing around here is that if you look for Carmel, for example, and it's starting to happen in Pacific Grove, rich people from out of town who might own 12 or 15 or 20 houses all around the country, and then they leave them open. So we have leave them empty, don't even rent them out. There's a basic assumption that if you have the money, you know, theoretically, one person could come in, buy every house in Monterey, kick everybody out, and have the whole town for themselves, and that would be legal.
What's your solution, Jay?
My solution is, what if you limit the amount of houses somebody can own in the country? What if you actually say that you can only own two houses? What if these people who want to have a house here for the AT&T once in a while, what if they just have to go to a hotel or something like that? There's a basic assumption that you can make as much money as you want. You can do whatever you want with the money.
And Jay, thanks for your call. I got to move. Jay, I appreciate that. That's a very good comment, and keep calling the show. I really like your ideas.
Okay,
we'll see.
The problem is that between the haves and have-nots, and we need to reduce the discrepancy. I'll let you go. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thanks,
bye.
Jay. We got Paula from Eureka. Paula, before you start, one more comment I want to make. I think that what we could do is put homeless people in the empty houses. What do you think?
I think it's exactly right.
Go ahead, Paula.
I think they have a fear, though, that...
Sorry, go ahead. Yuri, what were you saying?
I think they have a fear that the homeless people are going to set fires in the house or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's awful.
All right, go ahead, Paula.
Hey, Yuri, when you get to Senator Feingold's office,
yes.
please have him investigate Section 3605 of the Patriot Act, which is calling for a national federal police force with very broad and undefined and very frightening sort of powers. And Senator Feingold's really the only one who's really read the actual Patriot Act, as we know. So
it's amazing, isn't it?
You could really have him investigate, because that expansion is quite frightening.
And the thing about that is, it's not just some new federal police force. It's using the Secret Service
exactly.
as the federal police force,
dreadful.
Which is even crazier.
It's even crazier. But I wanted just to say, you know, with regards to not doing anything, you know, I called on Friday, and I did try to call lots of senators, and I did. And,
great.
You know, considering that we didn't even have 25 a few weeks ago, at least we got that.
Paula, I'm with you on that. And I think it shows how much effect we can actually have.
And it was up to, you know, thanks to you, you know, and the progressive talk. I believe that we jammed the phones, and so I did take the time to call today to say thank you.
Great job, Paula. I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's move to Xavier in Santa Cruz. Xavier, what's going on?
Hi. Yeah, earlier you were talking about our views as being extreme left and how you might not be able to get senators to come online with that.
Yes.
And what I'm thinking is a lot of times what we really need to do is include more groups like libertarianism and stuff. One of the things that I find is a massive group of people we can bring more online is working class men.
Yeah.
White men, they tend to gravitate towards the Rush Limbaugh end of things. Because, you know, I think we can get a lot of them online with things like the abortion issue if we were to not demonize them so much. And I think I can sense that we don't have a lot of time here, so I'll probably call back later. But I think including men and not bashing them.
Xavier, the problem is with that, I mean, I agree with you completely, and I think men are one of those things that the Democrats have a tendency to ostracize by, I don't know if they actually do it themselves, but there's an idea that the Liberal Party or the Democrats are Liberal Party A, and then the right wingers have framed us as the party of, you know, being soft and cuddly,
yeah.
And men don't really like that.
Men are taught to just keep a stiff upper lip and be quiet and not whine. And,
right.
And I think if we were to allow them to, you know, express some of their concerns where the progressive movement is not really hearing them, I think that we can include them a lot better.
Right. And I mean, I think that a big part of that, Xavier, is this movement to get men in uniform who are coming back from Iraq to run for office and say, I'm a man, I serve this country, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being treated like, you know, I'm not worth anything in this country. And they can stand up and be men and say, I served this country, and I'm scarred from it, and I want some respect.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call today, Xavier.
Bye.
Next, we go to Mike from Santa Cruz. What's up, Mike?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'd like to suggest a few ideas, you know, but, I mean, I hear all of this, and I'm an artist, and I'm pretty liberal, but I tell you, you know, one of the things that Republicans have done is they're on the side of money, you know, and money calls the shots.
Right.
But I'd like to suggest that the reason why the Democrats are not really involved and really they sound spineless is, let's not forget Watergate and the spying system, you know. My feeling is that, you know, if you can spy on regular citizens, they can spy on senators and find out their weakness, you know, and they can be threats, keep it up, you know, and you'll be exposed, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like we're threatening really dangerous time because these guys, if they got something on their weakness, they can use it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's my point. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. Well, to that, Yuri, I want to talk about that for a second because I think it's a pretty good point. The issue with spying is that, I mean, the strangest part about this whole spying scandal, which I think is the final straw that's going to break this president's back, and not a moment too soon.
Do you think it's going to be the spying or the corruption?
I think it's going to be the spying. I think it's going to be a good combo, little bit of spying with the right.
With some corruption salted on top.
A little jab of corruption. But I think that what it is that's very interesting about this is that they claim they need it to pursue terrorists. And unless they're planning on just killing all the people that they spy on and not persecuting any of them in the criminal justice system, then prosecuting or persecuting? I don't know. Anyway, sorry about that. It's kind of crazy that they'd be using these illegal wiretaps because this evidence is, you know, there's a pretty strong case for people who get prosecuted under these that they collect this evidence illegally.
You know, not to offer, you know, Carl, you know, another page to his playbook, but it seems
right.
Like if they were to actually publicly prosecute some of these people, and obviously our country is fascinated with courtroom procedures, you know, if they were to publicly prosecute, that would be something that could seriously hurt the progressive movement. I think that.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, don't tell them about that. But I agree with you. I mean, if they had a case against these people that was, you know, they could actually make it pretty clear without revealing any secrets, quote unquote, then I think that you have a good point.
And, you know, we like visual effects, which is...
Right. I mean, I think a lot of America's ready to see a terrorist in handcuffs, which we haven't really seen yet. I mean, you see American citizens who are being held without charges, like Jose Padilla, but you don't see terrorists in handcuffs, and they haven't made a big deal out of it.
I think what's going to happen with a lot of those is you'll see a lot of them claiming being tortured, and they don't want to bring anyone
right.
that can actually vouch, testify
absolutely.
To it in
delight.
It's
a lot easier to just keep them in jail for their whole lives. Well, Yuri, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been my pleasure.
I had a great time.
Awesome. You got to come back and do it again. Peter B. Collins will be back hopefully tomorrow. This is the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA and KGOE.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. In the House chamber on Capitol Hill, a joint session of Congress for President Bush's State of the Union address. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
After a very tough year, President Bush is trying to make a fresh start on his second term. Despite the rising death toll in Iraq, new threats from Al-Qaeda, and problems at home, he wants to be seen as optimistic about the nation's future. But he also wants to show he's addressing kitchen table issues, including the high price of energy. He'll bluntly state that America is addicted to oil, and to break that addiction, he'll call for more aggressive development of alternative sources of non-fossil fuel. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Among the invited guests this evening, Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito, sworn in just moments after the U.S. Senate voted to confirm. At the Capitol this evening, word from Capitol Police of the arrest of peace activist Cindy Sheehan. You remember her as the mother of a soldier killed in Iraq who established a peace camp outside the president's ranch this summer, demanding to speak with him, a demand he rejected. Also confirmed by the Senate today, a new chairman of the Fed, as outgoing Chairman Alan Greenspan leaves, the confirmation of Ben Bernanke. The Fed today hiked short-term interest rates another quarter point, the 14th increase this time around. CBS News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus says there will be fallout.
When short-term